Tonight, we'll once again answer your car questions as Warren Price from European and U.S. Car Service stops by the Showcase studio. Then later, it's at least 1,000 words from Tribune's political cartoonist Scott Stantis. And of course, we continue our coverage of Sketchfest Chicago. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
You're listening Pretty Late. Hi, it's, what day is today? This week is so strange because of the coming back from the holidays. And I'm watching, and plus I'm distracted because I've been watching the CNN town hall meeting about the executive order to close loopholes in gun ownership at, gun shows. And there were a lot of good questions. Rob, are you watching this CNN conversation?
It's always difficult for me to really get in depth into something like this because I'm also listening for clips, and Father Michael Flager was there tonight as well. So it's, I listen to it on the surface because I'm fishing for stuff.
Right.
But it was interesting. I mean, you know, it's one of these hot button issues that will certainly carry us through the 2016 election cycle. That's for sure.
And I think it's a good idea if you're gonna, if you're gonna stand in front of the country and say I'm going to issue an executive order, and then he is obviously come out and is having this town hall meeting. He's getting questions from both sides, including people asking why are you making it harder for me as a law abiding citizen to own a gun. And he said, "This is not the intention of it. This is to close, gun shows where there are straw purchases, which means that there aren't background checks and you can buy them and sell them to somebody else. People are loading up trucks and taking them to places like Chicago from Indiana. My question to listeners, if anyone is, I guess if they're watching it, you're not listening, or maybe you're just doing both. I do two things at once, right? Do you ever have the TV on and the radio on? Maybe you want to see what we'll say about what President Obama is talking about. I know Steve Cochran will cover this in the morning, but I'm wondering if anyone has been watching. Maybe somebody already turned it off. Maybe you got so angry, you're like, screw this, I'll go listen to Patty. And now I'm making you mad, so call me. You can't call the president. You can call me, though. 312-981-7200. Let me know if you are watching this, the debate, or if you have, not debate, the conversation in the town hall meeting, hashtag guns in America. And let me know what you think. Or I'm wondering specifically about one woman who spoke up and said that she had been attacked when she was in Colorado in college in 2006. She was she was raped, and she was in her apartment, and she's now the mother of two, and feels that it is her obligation, her responsibility to be an armed parent, to protect herself, to protect her children. And I don't disagree that that's the way she sees it. She's been victimized, she's been assaulted, and she now wants to provide protection for her children. The president, rightfully so, thanked her for being so brave and honest about that, about standing in front of the country and saying, this happened to me, and this is why I want to be armed. Is that reason enough? Is someone has been a victim? Is that a compelling argument for somebody who maybe is on the fence? I think that's definitely a compelling argument for people who support guns, gun ownership. And by the way, I'm not against gun ownership. I am against responsible gun ownership. I think most gun owners are. But I was curious about that. As when you hear from a victim, does that sway you at all? I think for many people, it doesn't. I would say for those who already are gun owners who support gun ownership, that reinforces their position. For those who think there should be more gun control, I think that they go, well, that's being a victim doesn't therefore mean that everybody should have guns. I don't know, Rob.
I thought what was interesting, I was kind of keying in on when Father Michael Flager was going to get up and address the president, and he was kind of questioning why guns can't be like cars and licensed and registered to a specific owner. But I think when you start talking about those who are, ironclad into the Second Amendment and gun owners and whatnot, especially here in the state of Illinois, they have already a FOID card, which is a firearm owner's identification card. Mm-hmm. You have to submit a fairly lengthy application, which is then submitted to the FBI. So the frustration, I think, on gun owners' side, at least here in the states, in this state, is that now I've got to jump through yet another hoop if I want to go buy a gun, because they already have this.
Right. Well, and I don't know. So what is the extra hoop that they're offering, that they're proposing?
Well, again, if you're requiring, just if you're through the executive order, if there's just another layer that you have to go through, I think that's the frustration on many people's part.
It sounds as though at gun shows there are no hoops. That's the way it comes across to someone like me, that somehow it's much easier to buy a gun at a gun show. Steve had something he wanted to add to the conversation. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Not bad. No, in the early 80s, twice in the same winter, I got held up on the Fullerton L stop right by DePaul. And legally or illegally, if I'd had a gun, there would have been two of us dead.
See, and that's my question, too. And that was what President Obama brought up, is that you have to be very well trained when you are being assaulted in order to be able to protect yourself with a weapon, with a gun or otherwise.
I was content with just giving up my money.
Well, I'm glad that it turned out all right for you. Do you own a gun now, Steve?
No, I've never even fired one.
Never fired one? What do you?
Nope.
Did you watch any of the town hall meeting tonight?
I had it on in the kitchen, but right. I was getting a little upset with some of the questions that were coming out, so I gave it up.
Because Rob just mentioned cars and kind of comparing cars and gun ownership. That was one of the...
That was one of that, yeah.
The law enforcement.
People get killed in cars constantly, but... We don't build cars to kill people. We build guns to kill people.
Oh, interesting. Yep. They can be lethal, but yet they're obviously intended for something else. They're not built for that purpose.
They're difference between transportation and weapons.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate that.
All right,
and
thanks.
Again, glad you made it through the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a tough time. Now, Rob, when the law enforcement gentleman from the South, I believe he's running for Congress, he mentioned the same thing about gun ownership and comparing it to car ownership. And he said, well, the Constitution doesn't mention anything about car ownership, which, of course, when they wrote the Bill of Rights, there were no cars at the time.
Right.
But it is specifically that meaning that this is a constitutional conversation. And, that doesn't mean it should be without some sort of regulation, though, I think is what both sides are talking about.
I think what's frustrating in covering this particular story again, which is going to be on the top of everybody's minds from now until the new president is elected, mm-hmm. is that the way I read it, there is common ground on both sides here.
Right.
There really is. And if you read between the lines and you hear what people are saying and you listen to all the rhetoric back and forth, once you cut through that fog, there is common ground on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, that they can agree on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Where it gets bogged down is just that loud screaming
right.
from a select few on both sides,
and
it gets lost.
And that was something that he just said, actually, as we were coming into the studio. He said that the shrillest, the loudest, the most powerful in Congress and the stranglehold that some of those groups have a significant impact on legislation that is passed and that affects our lives. And the way to make change is to vote. And we've talked about that earlier this week. If there is something that, we had a chance earlier this year, people are calling for the resignation of Mayor Emanuel. Well, your chance to make him resign has come and gone. That was in April, everybody. We knew who we were getting. It was not a mystery. Yes, maybe the tapes were something that were hidden from us, but did we doubt for a minute that he was capable of that? I mean, are you really that surprised that this is who we got as our mayor? I'm sorry. I just got a little fired up because they're upset now, but where were they when it was time to vote? Hey, Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
What did you want to tell us?
I just find it fascinating that this has now become something that is opposed in Congress when you've got, for instance, in 1999, Wayne LaPierre, who, let's put it out in the open. I am not a fan of the current positions of how guns are just everywhere.
Right.
And how the NRA has advocated for that. But Wayne LaPierre in 1999 suggested the very same things that Obama said. Which is, closing gun show loopholes,
right.
Increased background checks. Speaker Ryan, in a 2013 interview with the Milwaukee Journal, said the same things. I mean, I don't know what changed suddenly that these opinions that they are on camera, where the videos can be found easily online, that show these people and these organizations in favor of these very same things.
Yes.
Suddenly is verboten. It reminds me of a certain other thing that came up a few years ago involving this insurance thing that Romney proposed and passed Congress a few years ago
in Massachusetts. Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Passed in Massachusetts, and then suddenly it was a great thing, and then some other dude suggested it, and suddenly it became evil.
Right, because it was somehow then, if it becomes a Democrat's idea or somebody who's not in the most conservative aspect of that party, then it becomes something that's soft or, you know. And I don't know, I think you were about to say cognitive dissonance, I think, sort of saying one thing and then completely turning around and going, no, this is completely wrong, even though I said it a couple of years ago.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling. And look, Jon Stewart was a master at this, of showing, no, but you said this 5 years ago, and now you're saying completely the opposite because this administration differs from you, because your base, right? I mean, a lot of folks who are running for office respond to their base, to the voters, to the polling, right? Now, I don't know if because Trump is doing so well, or, you know, because Ben Carson does well or Ted Cruz, then does the party then go, oh, well, we should need to start catering and make sure that we are addressing these people who are outraged on the left because Bernie Sanders is doing well? Does that party then say, oh, well, we've got to be more liberal on things? It's interesting to watch how this will all play out.
Well, there is one other facet of this, too, which is not very often mentioned, which is about with regards to the safety of it. 4 times out of 5. A gun in the home is going to be used to harm someone in that home.
Right.
It's usually going to be in a suicide or otherwise to harm someone. Like, for instance, the multitudinous cases we have of, like, some kid finding a weapon mm-hmm. and harming or killing a sibling or a friend.
Right, or themselves. Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is hands down the most dangerous thing. I mean, and they have all these cases of people talking about trying to protect themselves. In the Oregon school shooting that happened late last year, there were individuals on that campus that had weapons.
It seems to me,
and none of them used it because they had the good sense that
right.
there were other people that had training to use it, and they said, "Well, as soon as I pull out a weapon, I just become a target."
Right, and it escalates as well. And it does seem to me that people who, you know, the NRA seems to convince a lot of people, one, that these kinds of gestures, executive order, is to take away guns, to take away those rights, and two, that the things that you're talking about and the mass shootings are somehow the cost of having free ownership of guns, of having, you know, unregulated gun ownership. That seems to be, accepted and acceptable. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate you joining the conversation. Look forward to hearing from you again.
No problem.
Thank you. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Hey, Esmeralda, as a broadcaster, fellow broadcaster, I have a question for you about have you been following the story about Fox 32 and Good Day Chicago?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. The hats.
So the Robert Feeder column that I read, I believe a producer at Fox sent out a memo basically saying that the female reporters who were out and about town doing what they call, I guess, the stand-ups outside, if the weather is below 20, then they are allowed to wear a hat. Otherwise, they look prettier. I don't know if that's a word to use. It's hot. They look hot without a hat.
I mean, I can get, like, don't wear a baseball hat or
right,
something.
Right, a big floppy.
Or like a slouchy, gross-looking thing that's all tattered.
I think it'd be funny if all the women were like wore all, like, cowboy hats now and, like...
It would be amazing.
Like a little. I took a couple pictures tonight because Amy Guth took some pictures with a hat on, and I was trying to decide my favorite. I got a lot of hats. I'm wearing my hat tonight, as a matter of fact.
So I'm not wearing a big hat person.
I like hats. I usually wear baseball hats, but I had to look for a couple of my other wintery type hats.
My head just doesn't. It doesn't go well with hats.
Well, it depends.
I always lose my winter hats.
Oh.
I bought one day and I lost it that same day.
Oh, that's so annoying. You really don't like it. You did not commit to ownership.
I went through two hats in the winter last year.
How do you do with gloves?
Those I can keep.
Yeah. What?
Those
both?
Those are still, yeah.
Do you have like those little clips like kids have for their mittens?
I kind of wish.
I need that.
And I wear mittens, so it'd be very appropriate.
Do you wear mittens?
Yeah.
I have mittens that the top flips open. I have like in my
fit. Oh, the hobo mittens?
Is that what they call them?
Kind of, yeah, well, right. The fingerless, but usually...
Hobo. I like hobo mitten.
Hobo. Like you that. Always see the stereotypical hobos.
The hobo mitten. So it was Dan Solomone, an executive producer at Fox, owned Channel 32. He said that, which he did not issue to the male reporters, he said the women would look a lot better without hats and should go without them from now on. He'd be willing to make an exception, he said, if it's 20 below. Oh, it's 20 below.
Yeah, 20
if it's
below.
20 below.
Yeah.
What?
So not like 15 below. It's got to be like 20 below.
I thought like 20 degrees.
No. It was below zero.
20 below.
That is ridiculous.
I want to throw something. What?
Because, like, look, you can't give the news if you have a hat on and it's not 20 below.
Well, because if you're so hideous with a hat on,
no one will listen
to you.
Yeah, because you'd be undoable. Because that's what we watch the news for, is who's doable and not doable. She's reporting.
What did I just walk into?
What now?
What?
Huh?
Are women less doable because they wear a hat in cold weather, Rob Bartier?
Oh, we're talking about Fox? Actually, I'll tell you what, Craig, you may or may not agree with me. There's nothing sexier than a woman in like a cool winter hat or a ball cap or something like that. I mean, I think that's really hot.
Thank you very much.
I do.
I don't even care about that part
and
of
you've
it.
You've got a ball cap on tonight.
Yes, I do.
No, that part doesn't even matter, though. If they give the news and they seem intelligent, that's also hot. Mm-hmm. And not that I'm watching for that.
Oh, stop.
But that it is, Rob. It is. I like smart chicks.
Does it outrage somebody? If you see your female reporter doing an outdoor report, if she's wearing a hat, you're like, I can't watch this. She is not attractive to me right now. I'm having a patty melt right now.
I only judge when they're just kind of ugly hats. And I'm like,
right.
You're going to be on TV. You should probably get a cuter hat.
Right. I mean, like, sure, we have our moments where we think, is that the shade of lipstick she left the house in? But, you know, but
by no means should she not be allowed to wear a hat.
Exactly.
And does that take away from what she's reporting on?
20 below.
Yeah, 20
Craig,
below.
Not that's 15 insanity. Below. 20 below.
20 below.
Look, if it's 10 below, just like cup your ears with your
hands.
Yeah,
just
like, hold them up there. What? You'll be fine. You're going to be fine.
What's that?
Can you sue if you get frostbite in your ears?
No.
Probably.
I don't know.
Workman's comp or something.
Something. Exactly. What were you say, Rob?
I was just going to say, you know, 20 below, if your news director is sending you out a hat or no hat. I'm saying no way, man.
Yeah.
I'm not doing a stand-up out at O'Hare at 20 below. Forget it.
That's something that people have been saying, too. Stop this charade of sending reporters out in cold weather in the first place. You can report it. Like, you can tell a story from inside the studio or inside the van. It's too cold to go outside.
Look, I know I'm criticizing our family here because
yes.
I do love WGN-TV. I consume an awful lot of it. But when they put poor Tom Skilling outside in front of that goofy pine tree up at Bradley Place—
uh-huh.
What are you doing? Just get,
worried for
get him in
Skilling.
Front of the green screen, please.
I got to believe that's Tom doing that.
I
got to believe Tom likes to go out there and experience it himself. I think he feels like it makes him a more in-depth meteorologist.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
He loves
maybe
his
right.
weather.
I can't imagine anyone tell Tom Skilling what to do. I wouldn't. Have you seen that video of him? Like, I own this freaking place.
He's going to kill people?
Like Thomas Sulo.
Yeah, no, I could believe that.
I would not mess with
that. I like
guys.
To see people outside, even in 20 below, though. I like to see them go out and report.
No hats.
And well, I don't care about the hat, but I like to see the stuff. They know what's going on because they're there.
See the ice in their face?
Yeah, you like, know, then I know they're being
really?
Serious. If they told me sipping a coffee in, like, the studio, I don't know that I'd be, I don't know.
As impressed by their commitment
their
to
dedication
reporting.
To letting me know what's going
I'm
on.
I'm kind of bothered when they do news reports and they're standing in front of City Hall at, like, 4 in the morning. It's like, you know, it's not open, right? Like, no one's in there.
Yeah, the morning news at 4:30. In 5 short hours, this City Hall will be rocking.
It's like, we know it's not open. Why do you have to go there? We know where it is.
Why are you standing there? Yeah, go to the Dunkin' Donuts.
Because I don't know what it looks like unless they're there while they're talking about it.
I don't understand what's going on if you don't stand in front of what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, I can't connect those dots unless I see it visually.
Dots not connected. I have a bit that I do about Channel 7 News, always sending minority reporters out to cover the really cold weather. It's always like Evelyn Holmes or John Garcia or Michelle Gallardo. And she always says it that way, like she hits the accent super hard. Gallardo!
Yeah.
And the colder it is, the harder she hits that. And she's always standing in front of like a line of salt trucks going, the city is prepared for anything that happens tonight. This is Michelle Gallardo.
Maybe that's how she keeps warm.
And then I ran into her at a party and she said, I understand that you do an accent about me. And I said, I'm sorry. Hi, Michelle Gallardo. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We got a guy. We have our car guru, Warren Price, who is not actually in the studio right now because he left his lights on his car. Security called and said, your lights are on. paging Warren Price. Your lights are on.
You have left your lights on.
Your lights are on. 312. When he comes back, he can talk to you about how long it takes for your battery to die when you left your lights on. 312-981-7200. If you have questions for our car guy, Craig is now answering the phone from security and is going to let Warren back into the studio. But 312-981-7200. Give us a call if you have a question about your car. I have a lot of questions for my mechanic about finding a mechanic, and maybe a few questions about car insurance. I'm curious his thoughts on that, because I love Warren because he doesn't hide his opinions. He's not shy about telling you what he thinks, not just about your car, but, you know, other mechanics. I think that's my favorite part, is finding out that the last mechanic was a jackass. That's always nice. let's be honest. That was kind of your hidden message to me, that whoever worked on my car last. Do you have headphones? You got them right there.
I was being kind.
You were, but was it implied? Was jackass implied?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, come on in. Come closer to the microphone.
I'm trying to turn this thing down a little bit.
Oh, they're too loud? Yeah, the silver knob right there. Just turn the knob. There you go. Well, yeah, right there.
There we
that
go.
Feels good.
Yeah.
I know he looks very low, doesn't he? I like to make people feel inferior to me.
Well, wasn't that movie Disclosure or something like that with
Michael Douglas
and what's her name?
They actually have it happen in, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart sits down and he realizes that the desk is like way above him.
In front of Mr. Potter.
Yeah, I feel like you're in front of Mr. Potter.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, my favorite movie.
it's a great movie.
Tearjerker.
It is. It's a wonderful movie. It's funny that it was not even popular when it first came out.
It doesn't make sense to me. That film was...
It was a downer. It was we were in World War II, right? We just come out of World War II, and I think people wanted something more uplifting, and that was kind of a...
It was pretty uplifting. I mean,
it eventually becomes uplifting, yes. Yeah. But I think that... I think it was 1946.
Look who's in your life. How many people you've touched?
Oh,
come on.
That's very sweet. I love my life. I'm very happy. Yeah, you know, pain along the way... makes you, it's part of who you are.
If you don't have any pain, you can't
you have nothing compared to. Yeah. So we have a caller that wants to compliment you. So we'll go ahead and take that. And then other callers who might have questions for Warren being the man. Hey, Benny, how are you doing?
All righty, Warren. I just want to tell you, man, it's not a good idea to leave your lights on your car. It doesn't work.
We didn't mention anything, Warren. I don't know how he knew that.
Well, you know, things like that occur, you know, that shows how human I am.
Well, actually, the comment I wanted to make is Warren is a man of integrity. I've used him to provide service to me for a number of years. And the most ingratiating thing he did to me is that I had a government vehicle, and I won't mention the government, but I took it up to hell, Warren, to take a look at it. And Warren was taking the brake harness off, and the whole damn thing fell off in his hand. And then he called me up and told him to come get this thing. I am not going to repair it. I love you too much. It's not worth repairing. So he's a man of integrity, and I love him for it, because I could have very well been in that vehicle and something catastrophic or drastic could have happened to me. So I just want people to know that they got a man of character and a man of integrity if they use him for any services.
Yeah, he's very honest. I'm telling you, he doesn't pull any punches,
brutally,
does he, Benny? Yep.
Brutally honest.
Brutally honest.
Best friend, worst enemy. Going to tell you what you want to hear and what you don't want to hear.
I take it all.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, guys. I'm going to listen to your program, but I just wanted to get that out to the public.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Benny. So, thank you so much for listening. Have a great night. Yeah, I brought my car to you, and you were very honest about it. But it's good to go, my Honda Odyssey, for a little couple more years.
Maybe you'll get another week out of it at least.
You know. Yeah, I had I had someone rebuild the entire transmission actually 1 year ago, same time I gave it to you. It was supposed to have a 2-year warranty on it, and then he closed up he moved and left, and we had no forwarding address. No. So there goes that.
Well, it's still running, so something's good.
Something's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're liking it.
Well, I have asked this to our listeners earlier in the week, because when you called me, you asked me who worked on it last. Have you ever been satisfied by an answer that you've received from a customer?
Absolutely.
What are you looking for in that question?
I'm looking to see who's done it, the size of their shop, have they been in business a long time.
But how does it affect what you need to do next?
At least I can try and think of how they looked at the situation.
Okay.
And then how I can maybe take what they've interpreted.
So you do a little forensics on the car.
Yes.
You need to know, wow.
Well, that's what we do. We do forensics going into a car repair.
Okay.
You know, check my brakes. What are we doing? We're checking to see what's wrong.
But can you tell that I did go to the dealership for the warranty, and then once the warranty was out, I'm like, well, screw this. I'll just go to whoever.
No.
You couldn't tell that?
Not one bit.
It looked like crap from all around?
You needed some stuff.
No, I took it to the Honda dealership for the first 7 years.
When we got to doing your valve cover gaskets, and we had to go through your spark plugs to get to them, and we put them in our hands, and we said, these should have been at least replaced somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Interesting. So that was the Honda dealership that was...
I don't know.
Well, it was...
Did you buy it new or used?
New.
Well, it's just interesting. They looked original. The battery was original.
Yeah.
And that was... It's like a 10-year-old car.
It is exactly 10 years old.
Yeah.
And you told me that the steering was starting to get... It was hard to turn, and that was as a result probably from the battery being so old.
Well, there's a power situation where you weren't getting power to the car, and it helped.
Right.
Your car is running...
Much better. What was that rattling? Remember that my husband... Heat shields.
Mm-hmm. We secured your heat shields.
My heat shields. So the guy that we took it to, we said it was making that noise. He goes, you can live with that.
You can live with it.
Yeah. No, but why didn't he fix it? Exactly.
You know.
Wow. Wait a minute. Could you do that again? That wasn't what it sounded like. It was, like it was more of a vibrating.
It's hard to... That vibration?
Right. Craig, what did you want to say?
No, I think it's funny that you guys mentioned a little bit about explaining kind of what's wrong with your car when you go to a mechanic. We're kind of like the first line of defense, and we have to give you an idea, and then you have to do all the forensics, all the diagnostic to figure it out. I'm not sure if I'm a very good interpreter of what's going on wrong with my car. Like,
right.
What's, you know,
that's
when you hear a funny noise, how do we get better as drivers of acknowledging what's really wrong? Is there any advice you'd have for someone when you can really tell that something's going on other than the dramatic stuff?
Well, you could read the book that they've given you for your car.
What now?
You can read the book. They've given you for your car. And that's one thing you can do. You could go online and, you know, play YouTube and see what they do for tune-ups. And I'm sure there's videos for that. And, you know, there's ways to get it. You could call up someone who you might know that works on a car. Or your mechanic might help you. Or, you know, there's schools and classes you could take.
Do most of the people who come in actually explain what's going on with their car well? Like, do they explain the problems to you guys well or no?
They give us the basis, and we have to really pull out of them an actual vibration, noise, rattle. Does it happen when it's cold, hot? You know, we have to really ask questions.
Did I give you enough information? I don't know. I think I told you the power steering was sluggish.
Yeah, well, first thing, as soon as I got in your car, the steering was terrible.
Yeah.
It kind of locked up.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it did. I remember.
You told me I was there just in the nick of time.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Was I there?
I said you came at the right time.
Nick of time. I guess, so let's make it more dramatic.
Okay.
One more mile, and this all ends badly.
If you don't do this repair now, you will not exist.
That's right. Or somebody on the corner. 312-981-7200. We are talking to Warren Price, European and U.S. auto?
Car service.
Do you have auto in any of your paraphernalia? Like, on your, do you have an Instagram account? Someone has European, U.S. auto.
There's a bunch of Europeans. There's Euro US. There's European American. There's Euro Tech. There's Euro Woe.
But you're at 4080 North Broadway.
Exactly. That was 4080 North Broadway.
And everyone can go to your website. You have some live chat right now, too, if they have questions.
It's a fun little site. There's some things to play with. And listen, there's a couple of videos I did in the past, and it's fun.
And you go to bed late and wake up early. I know, because you called me at like 7 in the morning.
I took a nap before I came here.
Oh, did it tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Do you nap well? Are you a napper?
I got a good hour.
Yeah. A good hour?
A good hour.
It's better than nothing.
It's absolutely. But so I do get up early every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You texted me when I still hadn't gone to bed yet at like a 7 this week.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I figured maybe you just got off work or you went out to dinner after
no,
you got off at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm doing a New Year's thing where I'm committing to 10 minutes a day to something, but then I generally can't get to it till after I'm done with my shift here. So I go home and I kind of relax a little bit, and then I have to make sure I do that 10 minutes, which generally turns into 40 minutes. I'm writing a book. So do you have a New Year's commitment?
To be a better person.
Well, can you do 10? What would you do with 10 minutes a day to be a better person?
Think about others.
Think about others?
Yeah.
All right. I like that. So 10 minutes a day. I'm giving you an assignment. 10 minutes a day. Think about others.
I will.
Just sit there and think.
Well,
Don't do nothing.
I have to think about your car, his car, that car. I mean, I am thinking about others.
Do you go to sleep just thinking about car parts sometimes?
Not parts. I think about situations that are not resolved or haven't been handled yet.
And do you think you ever wake up with a solution? Like, oh, wait, I know what I can do.
I wake up with a formula for how I'm going to start my day.
Oh, man. It's intense.
It's
a lot of stuff. And you hate cars.
I hate cars.
It's every single car is a problem, isn't it?
There's a problem with every single car.
Every single. Man, it's a lot of work. John has a question for you. Hi, John. Where are you calling from?
Huntley.
Huntley. What question do you have for our car guru, Warren?
Yes, I have a Pontiac Montana 2005, 3.4 engine. I just had the head gasket replaced. I'm still not getting really good heat. My floor on the driver's side is wet underneath there, and I know there's something behind, like the stereo.
It's called the heater core.
Yes.
And if the moisture is coming down on your, first of all, if you're not getting heat, and you've got moisture on your floor, you're losing fluid. Now, the heater core is what is in front of your fan. The fan you turn on blows the heater core, and the heat comes out through that and distributes through the vents. From that point, you get your heat. If the coolant level is low and the heater core is not getting the warm water in it, it won't get warm. And if the fan is blowing, it's not going to blow anything that's warm into the vents to get you heat. So probably you should address the heater core. At least to have it taken a look at. Hopefully it's an easy removal. If the dash has to come out, it could be costly.
Okay. How easy is it to replace? So I did buy a heater core. It's on a Montana. It's a little lower. It's not right behind the dash. So
in that van, do you have your center console dead center in the middle, or is it behind? Is it low, or is there like a tray in the middle?
No, it's the one that goes from the dash straight down.
Okay, so you have an access to behind the dash from underneath.
Correct.
There's a potential that it could be not relatively easy, but easier than I might think. Instead of having to remove your dash, you might be able to just access it maybe by taking out your glove compartment.
All right, yeah, because it'd be nice to actually have a little heat, you know.
It's that time of year, comes in handy.
Next week, I heard the weather on the way here.
You never want to have a propane tank. It's going to be 19 degrees.
It's going to be cold.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. And you can always take your car to European and U.S. Car Service, 4080 North Broadway.
Come on down.
And before we, Rick, hold on the line. We're going to take a quick break here because I need to take a bite of my taco burrito combination that you've brought for me.
From the Taco and Burrito Palace.
Taco and Burrito Palace.
In Halsted.
It's really good.
Oh, it's awesome.
Their Domotilla sauce is fantastic. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Warren asked me if this was going to play for a while. I'm like, only because I want to dance.
I want to dance
a little bit. Yeah. But we've got to get to Rick's question. Rick has a question about his car, and you can all give us a call at 312-981-7200 with your car questions. Rick, what's yours?
Hi. I've got this Dodge Nitro. It's like a Jeep Liberty. It's they don't make them anymore. It's 2011. I do love the vehicle. I drive it like crazy. It's like a sports car, but it's an SUV. My question is, when I start it, when it's sitting, it's been sitting a while, the rocker arms are really loud. It ticks a lot, and it goes away after a couple of minutes. Sometimes it lasts a little longer, but it usually goes away, after I drive it. Is that a problem? Is that
you're talking
normal?
About the rocker arms that are in your valves that are moving your valves?
Yeah, when you start the engine, there's a ticking noise.
Okay. Interesting.
And obviously, when the oil...
First thing I would do is I would really like to... How many miles do you have on a car?
About 70.
That's not a lot of miles for anything like that. I would actually inquire with Dodge to see if there's been any history with this. It sounds like you might have a problem with oil flow through the galleys that... spread out through the rockers that are supposed to be lubricated, and it takes time for it to get up. Or you may have just a weak oil pump that's not giving enough pressure to push the oil to the top. Every time you shut off your car, the oil sits in the sump in the bottom of the oil pan. You start it up, and the pump sucks it up and pushes it all through. Well, it sounds like it's not getting there fast enough, and you maybe should try an engine flush. Clean out your engine. Maybe that might help.
An oil-type engine flush?
Flush your... Yeah, you can... In the old days, we used to put Coca-Cola into the engines to free up the rot that's inside.
Just the old days, not recently?
I haven't done that in a long time.
Okay.
Is there a particular brand? It's like STP or Lucas Oil.
Well, wherever your favorite oil change place, ask them if they have some form of engine flush, or go to one of your local automobile repair, okay, part stores.
Yeah, or usually just Coke Zero. That's fine too. Coke,
no. You have to use
regular
old stuff. Yeah, not anything you diet with. You want acid.
You want the acid. You want the hardcore stuff, mm-hmm, that rots your teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it helps. It's not like I need a head job or they need to go in there and replace them yet. I mean, if it keeps getting louder. And like I said, it only happens when I start it. Once I drive it, then it's fine. And if I start it again later, it's not loud or it's not there at all. So
okay. I try the engine flush. That's a simple thing to do.
Hold on one second. I need to know what a head job is.
Head gaskets. Warning. You know, the heads.
Okay.
We are entering adult topics here.
Yes, you are. Well, I'll skip this. I don't want to. I could go too far.
Craig and I are 12-year-old boys. We're like, did he say? I'm sorry, Rick. Rick, do you have a mechanic that you use regularly, or do you do a lot of work yourself on the car?
I do most of the work myself. I mean, I could do brakes and, wow, and oil changes and stuff like that. And even with doing the heads, it's a six cylinder, but it's not like a V6 cylinder with the heads right there where you can just unbolt them and look inside. They got way too much plastic and stuff over the top. So
you know what? It would be worth it to go to your dealer, to go to a Dodge dealer, and have them do it.
Okay.
Lay it in their lap.
There you go. Boom.
Say, I want an engine flush. I want you to clean out the engine and put fresh oil in my car. I want to see if that stops the noise that is created by the way you built the car.
There you go. Yeah, tell them. On you, pal.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick. Have a great night.
Thank you.
We've got Dan on the line. Hey, Dan, what do you want to tell us about?
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Good. I was wondering what options or suggestions you might have for those Ford owners with the old international diesel motors, like a V6, such as 2004, 3, 5, whatnot. That are running into those overheat problems. Are you suggesting that you fix them or junk them? Or what can you do with Ford, too? I mean, what are your options there?
How deep are your pockets?
What's that?
How deep are your pockets? Yeah, I mean, question is this. You're saying it's overheating. Okay.
Yeah.
Does it run hot or does it continually overheat?
No, it just overheats, period. You know, you run it for 25 minutes and then it starts to overheat. Yeah, I mean,
your needle get slammed all the way to the hot, don't drive section of your gauge?
Sure.
Okay. Then you might have a sensor problem. You could have you replaced your thermostat?
Oh, we've replaced all kinds of goodies in that truck, but, we were suggested that, the dealership saying that they need to do the head work or that gasket, and with that they say you remove the whole cab off the truck.
Why are they saying they have to do the cylinder head? Did they pull your dipstick out of your engine, look at the oil, and is it mixed with the antifreeze?
That I don't know.
Because that's about the only thing you could. If the head gasket needs to be replaced, you're getting a flow of antifreeze mixing in with your engine. If that's the case, your dipstick from your engine should be registering higher, and it would be creamy. It wouldn't look clear oil, dark, you know, something that actually has an oil-based look.
Well, the more I researched this problem, it was a known issue with the international motors, and you know, what I read was Ford was on, you know, at that time they had problems paying for the international motors. And
they didn't want to pay for them anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And now the customers paid for them. The only thing I can think of that I could do about the problem is never buy a Ford product. But I'm not sure if that's really the answer. I'm wondering about your thoughts. I mean, I'm a Ford owner, obviously.
I can't say that the Ford product is bad. I think Ford makes a good car.
Oh, there you go.
This is one
particular. How about the Ford truck, the diesel trucks in general at that time? Can you actually say they made good trucks then?
Yes. They're not all bad. You know, otherwise there would be national recalls. You'd hear it on WGN, and they would say that Ford's 04 Super Duties are no longer safe to drive, and they're going to cost you money, and don't drive them.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. Yeah. Good luck with that, Dan. We'll get to Melanie. Should I get Melanie's question before we leave for the news? One more after this on 720 WGN. We're going to be a couple minutes late for the news because I've had Melanie on hold for a little bit, and I want to get her question to Warren from your European and U.S. Car Service, 4080 North Broadway. That's in Chicago. Phone number is 773-248-1200. And if you go to their website right now, EuroUSAutobody.com, Kathy can take your questions there with a chat. Warren is going to take a question from Melanie quickly. Hi, Melanie, what's your question?
Oh, hi. I have a 2004 Grand Prix that had, I know they have a notorious problem for the manifold.
Gasket?
Yes, and I did have the job done, and I only have 84,000 miles on the car. I still love the thing. It runs like a top, but... The gentleman that I took it to, you know, he's got a wonderful reputation, and he explained to me about how the, I guess the head gaskets are made out of plastic and they warp.
Well, we just went from manifold to head.
The manifold
attaches to the head.
Okay, well, whatever that piece is. That Pontiac or in a lot of those GM cars that, you know, he said it was just an inferior material that they used, and that's why they, you know, all have this problem.
It could be the gasket. Yes, it could be inferior. I think that over the period of time, especially with an 04 vehicle, they would have come up with a resolution to that. It very well could also be the way the actual manifold is milled and the way it fits up against the head when they're screwed together.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Good luck with that, Melanie, and I hope you can resolve that. Warren can be found at European and U.S. Car Service, 4080 North Broadway. And thank you again to Taco Burrito Palace. Taco Burrito Palace, delicious.
Taco Burrito Palace, yeah.
Scott Santos is in the studio, and he'll be joining us right after the news. He's enjoying a taco right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. And Warren, we look forward to having you again very soon. Thank you so much for all your help with our listeners and with my car and with Craig's car as well. We look forward to seeing you. Have a great weekend, and good luck to your daughter's basketball game.
Oh, we have our first game tomorrow night.
Good luck to the girls. Yeah. All right. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. Did you watch the town hall meeting with President Obama?
Not.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I listened to it. I had.
Oh,
it
did you? Yeah. By the time I got the alert that I was on, I'd forgotten I was there.
Well, you support gun ownership, but you also support regulation.
I think we can have reasonable regulation. Sure.
Did you have any thoughts on the recent executive order he announced?
Yeah, I think there's some problems with it. There's some. I think there's some overreach. There's some.
Which one?
Well, I think the one that has what is it? Maximums. effectively creating law, which the executive can't do.
Okay. So, maximum sentencing, you mean?
Yeah,
okay.
Minimums are mandatory. Thank you. Jeez, I knew it was an M word.
Mandatory sentencing for violation.
For violation, if you go. And the other thing is, how do you define who sells guns? There was a case, for instance, a guy.
Wait. How do you define who sells guns?
Well, what's a gun dealer?
Okay.
Like, let's say I have a gun and I sell it to you. Am I a gun dealer then?
I don't know. Are you? Why are you selling me your gun?
Because I don't want it anymore.
Okay.
I actually don't own a gun.
Right. So if we're going to do the car thing, if I sell my car, I'm not a car dealer.
Right. But there was a case, and it went to the courts, threw it out. And this guy was sold a number of guns on the weekend. It was a weekend job, but he made about 30 grand off of it a year. That to me is a deal. And the courts threw it out saying that doesn't fit the criterion. So how do you, there's still a lot to.
So is percentage, like what percentage of your income does selling guns?
I don't. Yeah. Do you have to define that? And then, again, that's not something that the president or the executive branch can do. That's a law. And okay. That's something that the separation of power is very specific about. So, you know, that's an issue there. And I felt he overreached on that one. But it's an issue that people are. You know, the polls, if the polls are to be believed, and I think they can be, there's large, heavy sentiment in favor of some controls.
Well, I think that's overwhelmingly so, except that
even a large percentage of gun owners believe that there can be reasonable restrictions.
But why don't they speak out as much? It seems like the loudest people are the ones who want it either. I think this is what it sounds like to people. I think that people who have guns and don't want more restrictions, it sounds to them as though the people on the other side are going, we want to take away all your guns.
Right.
And on the other side, people who want more gun restrictions hear people go, I want everyone to have a gun and we should be able to shoot people whenever we want. I think that's what everyone hears. I mean, like, so.
Yeah. No, but we've talked about this a billion times. No, we don't hear each other.
No.
We talk over each other, around each other. We don't speak to each other because there's no adults anymore.
It goes like this. And then you go, I didn't say that. Well, that's what I heard.
And it's a slippery slope.
That's exactly right.
That's okay. Why not?
Yeah.
So this debate will never be won because you got the NRA pours gabillions of dollars, and that's a real number, into politics.
I'll look that up right now.
Gabillions.
And I will attribute it to you. One of the things that came up during the town hall meeting was one woman said, shouldn't we be celebrating that there are less murders, that murders have gone down, which seems like a weird thing to celebrate. I don't think you celebrate, like, I don't know if you have, like, balloons and stuff.
Because barbaric. Woo-hoo.
And then, like, the families who weren't so lucky to evade that, who were in the numbers of someone in their family who was murdered. I don't know how you celebrate, but there aren't as many of you this time.
Yeah, well, but to be fair, that's a good thing. Let's face it. I mean,
of course, it's a good
gun violence. Violence generally has gone down. I think it's been a 10-year
decline.
Pretty significant one. So that's a good thing.
So what do we attribute that to? Do you think? Do we attribute that to social media? We have more people can get their frustrations out on a Facebook post.
I don't know.
Attribute fewer murders to Facebook? I don't know.
I'm also curious if we compare ourselves to just ourselves, is that actually a good thing to be better as a society here instead of all the other countries that aren't dealing with as many issues as we are? Shouldn't we be comparing it to the other places that are doing this
we're
a lot
still,
better?
We're still murdering
more
people.
We're still way out there compared to a lot of the
gun
other
murders. Yeah. Does any other country have the same sort of ratio of gun murders, like of homicides by guns than we do? Anywhere in the world?
Well, of course. I would imagine in the
somewhere?
Middle East. I would imagine parts of Africa. I would imagine parts of Southeast Asia, probably. But
I'm not going there either. I'm not going to any of those places.
I'd like to go to Vietnam and Cambodia.
I'd like to go too. You know what I love? I love Copenhagen. I like Denmark.
Really?
Yeah. I want to go to Ireland. I want to do a trip to Ireland. I'm going to take my son to where they... Did you see Star Wars?
Not yet.
Okay.
Don't tell me
that. I can't say anything.
Okay. I know people are getting...
They go to Ireland. Oddly enough...
This.
Can I tell you something?
Wait.
Oddly enough, they go to Ireland.
They go to Ireland.
I'm not even kidding you.
Chewbacca gets
Not even
drunk.
A little bit. Not even a tiny bit. Am I lying about
the
fact...
How do you growl with an Irish accent?
Yeah. But there's a scene that's filmed in what I was surprised by was that they actually filmed the structures that are very recognizable as Irish structures.
Really?
I went with someone from Dublin, and as soon as that scene you're talking about happened, he hit me and he was like, "That's Ireland, that's Ireland."
It's Dingle Bay. It's Dingle Peninsula. Yeah. There are ancient structures that they filmed that I was like, I was surprised that they included that because in nothing else do you see something as recognizable as being, you know, human created. I mean,
so just, am I like a freak for not having seen this film yet?
Not for that. You didn't see that coming. You hung there for a second. You're like, what?
Check me. Oh man, am I bleeding? I just got tagged.
You are not a freak for not having seen Star Wars.
Okay, no. Well, I just got called one earlier in the day, and they had the same look on the face that you just had when I said I hadn't seen it.
What
is wrong with you?
No, I made that face because I couldn't continue the conversation with you about Star Wars. Esmeralda, have you seen the Star Wars movie? Yes.
Nope.
And are people gasping when you say no?
Not really, because I don't talk to nerds that often.
Wow.
If I could drop this mic, I would.
Boom. Done.
Well, we were just talking about, because we're SAG members, you know. So, you know, the rest of you can talk amongst yourselves, but the SAG members are talking.
I get screeners in the mail. I just got the big short today.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay, we saw, what do we see? We saw Spotlight, which is fabulous because it makes journalists look like heroes.
Oh, that's the one about the Catholic Church in Boston covering
right,
the
Boston Globe. And it actually showed employed journalists, which was really cool.
Is that
Remember
startling?
Those days? Good times,
man.
Good times.
They all had desks and stuff.
Yeah.
They all seemed very urgent about the story.
And bad polyester ties. It was awesome. Mm.
Yeah. They're still real journalists. You yourself are
sure.
They're all print journalists.
And
Peter Nikias.
Yes.
He's very
amazing. If he doesn't win a Pulitzer, then there is no God.
Oh boy, man, that's a high bar.
Well,
I think.
Oh,
I
absolutely
agree.
Not only has he covered the
you.
Issues on the South Side extraordinarily well, he writes them beautifully.
Heartbreakingly, I mean, so.
They're very well crafted pieces of literature, mm-hmm. And so
he has told me off the record. It's weird to be told something off the record by
and then
a journalist
say it in the radio.
It just what he went through to write the piece
again.
About the little boy's funeral, and it was on a personal and a professional level the toll that took on him. So I don't know what Tyshawn Lee's funeral.
Right.
He traveled with the child's body from the morgue to the funeral home and then to the church, and it was that's something that. It takes a lot of commitment and wanting to tell that story. You know, this young boy who in his last moments was not shown the kind of kindness he was shown after
right.
his death.
What's amazing, too, is the fight that Nikias, but also the photographer, had to fight
yes.
to get this into the newspaper and get it online, which is insanity. These mm-hmm. photos were beautiful, tasteful, mm-hmm. told the story. And the copy was golden.
It was.
I'm just very proud of it.
Absolutely. We're talking to Scott Stantis. He is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And if you want to join the conversation anytime, you know that the phone lines are always open and available to you. 312-981-7200. You can text us to the same number, 312-981-7200. Does that make you want to see it a little bit more now? How loud did that get in the studio? I have a knob here that makes things very loud.
I want to see it.
But there's no theater anywhere near. By the way, may I suggest.
Yeah, it's not playing anywhere.
May I suggest something?
Yes,
the AMC Theater, the Dine-In Theater at Block 37.
Well, how is that? Is that with the Barco Lounger and all that stuff?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make that.
Wow.
That
got
great.
It's so good. And you both have Barco Loungers. And then. There's a button right next to you, so if you want another cocktail or if you want more food, yes.
Is that distracting with the waitress coming
in? No, they actually come in. They time it so that they come in during a moment. They know there's a little bit of lag. Like there's something where they can kind of sneak in. There's plenty of room between them and, between you and the seats in front of you so they can kind of get in and get out. They,
nice.
They're very stealthy. Ninja servers,
they're
ninja
trained.
Yes.
So that's nice.
They're ninja trained. The flips are a bit much, but
I was
impressed.
I don't know if Scott will be able to find anyone to go with because apparently he's got to find a nerd, according to Esmeralda.
Yes.
One of the $1.6 billion that has been spent on going to this movie.
People have been going more than once.
I've seen it twice.
We'll
have
see.
You really?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
No, I just thought, you know what? Let me see how much I dislike it. Let me see it again. No, I love it. I very much enjoyed it. I really hated 1, 2, and 3. Immensely so.
Oh, gosh.
No, I so hated
Janine,
them.
Janine, my wife, mm-hmm. I've never seen someone walk out of the theater mad.
I was mad.
I mean, second one, she says, I've never seen anything he does ever again.
And he doesn't do this one, so
no.
You're safe.
Yes. In fact, he's been dissing it.
Yes, he's been saying
so you
that
know it's good.
He sold his movie to white slavers.
Yeah,
I believe.
That's great.
So
you gotta love that.
You know, they're doing an Indy 5, too. Disney's gonna do Indiana Jones 5. Yeah.
Well, when you see the broken hip? What the hell are they gonna do?
Well, when you see Star Wars, I think that you'll appreciate that he can do it.
All right.
He's
no,
good.
I mean,
he's good.
He's
a charming
fun guy. But,
yeah. But I mean, Sean Connery could do the third one. He did Indiana Jones.
Right.
Three.
But he wasn't jumping around and whipping things. He was
Harrison Ford was running. He was running quite a bit in Star Wars.
Okay.
It was fun to watch.
Good.
Yeah.
To be alone now.
Are you? Yeah, right. No, I enjoyed. I love the woman who plays Rey as well. She's fantastic.
She looks great. Hey, let me ask you. May I? This is a total seat change here. I'm sorry. Are you going down to Springfield?
Yes.
The legislature
reconvenes
next Wednesday.
Yes.
Oh, God, help us all.
I know. So, well, it depends on what goes on in Los Angeles, depending on whether I have to go. And here, I was talking to Todd Manley this week about that, and we were trying to figure out when would be a good time to go to Springfield. The thing about going last year when Pretty Late went downstate was that we had a very specific goal, which was the reinstatement of funds that had been suspended on World Autism Day. And those were funds that were just not for autism programs, but for the Epilepsy Foundation, right, for after-school programs, for smoking cessation, for Meals on Wheels. I mean, it was money, and we knew when we went that it was only going to buy us two more months, and that the budget was still, but we were hoping that ringing the alarm bell then would also kind of hold off the avalanche that was coming for all the other programs like early intervention. And I still went down there after the funds were reinstated then, and I could see that there was just nothing was going to be done. And so if we go down there, it's basically to tell everybody that nothing is happening. The only time to go is when Rick Pearson goes. That's when I should go, because he knows when things are going to happen. He does. We'll figure. Are you going to go?
I'd like to. That's why I was asking you, because maybe I could tag along.
Carpool, yeah. I love taking Amtrak. I do.
Can't take the WGN van?
Well, you know what we would do? What I would do, Craig, I would have Warren work on it first to make sure that it was roadworthy for making the trek to Springfield and back.
Yeah, he is a genius. He fixed my car too. I didn't mention that when he was here, and it's running amazing.
4080 North Broadway.
Mm-hmm. 4080 North Broadway.
European and U.S. car service.
Do we know how many seats are in that WGN van?
I believe there are two.
Yeah, there's just the two.
Because it looks like one of those just big empty ones in the back.
Yeah, that's where they kidnap people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Although it'd be a very easy...
We are not accusing Adam Phillips of anything. No one is implying.
My dad has the same kind of truck, and he installs carpet. And if you want, we'll just throw some rolls of carpet back there. That's what we used to do. We used to just sit on big rolls
like
of carpet.
Rolls of carpet. Laying it out there. I don't know what's happening. I don't know that Scott gets to take a nap while I'm driving to Springfield. And I don't know that WGN would let him drive the fan van.
Oh.
Right?
Wow. Yeah, we're not the same happy family anymore.
Is that the look we want too? Like shag carpet in the back of our fan van?
No,
is that
not
what we're going for?
It's not rolled out.
Yes.
Rolls of carpet?
It's literal rolls of carpet.
Are you asking me to make
so
deliveries?
You can sit on them.
Are you making deliveries for your dad? What's happening?
I'm just saying, give out some business cards.
Well, you're down there.
Yeah, as long as you got the space.
Real quick from the 219.
Could you swing by Effingham for us? Sure.
From the 219, happy Friday, Patty and crew. Keep up the fun, and thanks so much for making my 41st birthday a really fun one. This is from Stu in Munster.
Hey, Stu, happy birthday.
Many more.
Yes, please. Thank you for listening. Yeah,
that's so sweet.
I sent a happy birthday to Toy Rivers, a friend of the show as well. It was her birthday yesterday, I guess, because it is Friday, as Stu just mentioned. Yes, so happy birthday. There's a great meme of Morgan Freeman, and it says, I want to wish you a happy birthday, and now you've just read this meme in my voice.
Yeah, you kind of do, don't you?
I do. When you see him, like...
You see, yeah.
I'm not going to try to do an impression.
James Earl Jones, you just do the... Yes. Hello. This is CNN.
I'm used to it. Griffin was asking us about James Earl Jones. We were having a long conversation about the Jedis, and as we do in my household.
Because apparently her son's a geek.
Well, because Yoda just fades off. Like, he just sort of melts into his robe, right? And so did Obi-Wan Kenobi when he was struck down by Darth Vader. But when Anakin Skywalker is dying and dies, Luke Skywalker takes off his helmet and he doesn't melt, because he has not died a righteous death, I guess. He's not at peace. Perhaps, but I didn't realize that in Jedi, the re-release that George Lucas did, I didn't realize that he takes out the guy who you see revealed at the end of Jedi.
Correct. The ghost that actually does appear at the end of the movie has been changed from the actor who played him.
To Hayden Christensen?
To Hayden Christensen, yes. Who plays Anakin in the first three
movies. Just
the worst acting.
I just re-found that out. I think I knew that and... and blocked it out. He's terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's one of the ghostly figures at the Ewok celebration.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't
one of the great monologues of movie history is when he talks about sand and how he doesn't like it because it's grainy and gets everywhere.
Does he do that?
That's from 2, right?
See, I blocked that out too. I don't
even... Yes, he's talking to Padma.
I'm so terrible.
Padma,
I think I fell asleep.
Padme Melt, whatever her name is. What's
Padma.
Her name?
Padma?
Okay, sure, let's go with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Princess Leia is a general now.
Yeah, that's right here.
All right,
so from princess to general.
But apparently she hasn't aged well. She's been through war. She's been around the universe. It's so bad, isn't it?
And you look hideous in that hat. It's not 20 degrees below zero. What the hell are you thinking?
What is happening? What is happening?
What the?
What in the actual F is happening?
Craziest.
What? I was screaming earlier. I was screaming earlier. I was screaming earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is... I have never seen anything, read anything that stupid. I've covered politics for 35 years. Oh, no, I don't.
more stupid.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, no, I haven't.
You so totally have.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, the vote people
Infinity
voted
times two.
That people re-elected Rahm Emanuel? Seriously?
Okay. That was dumber. That yeah.
Come on. And now they're saying, resign. Well, hello? You could have resigned him.
Well, that seems to be a Midwestern thing. They did that to Scott Walker too, if you remember. He wins.
Yeah, then re-election. They reelected, and then they
did. Yeah, it all gets weird. Maybe it's a high, too high a.
How about the guys in Oregon? That's not stupider.
I don't.
With the guns,
that's got to be some kind
of.
Did
you see where the one guy like got mad because I guess one of the other militants like went off and went drinking and like drank away like their Kickstarter money or something. And like they're asking for snacks and stuff.
I love the snack appeal. Yeah, that was
could
manly.
You send some snacks?
I thought I saw PETA gave them snacks and they kind of dug them.
Is that true?
I thought I saw some. I mean, I didn't read
PETA, the organization or the bread?
What?
I don't think that's an organization.
PETA, the company.
PETA bread, like PETA bread?
No,
that's a snack. I don't know what's happening.
Could you imagine Valley Forge, you know, that great painting of George Washington kneeling in the snow praying. And you just know he's praying for snacks.
And shoes.
And snacks.
Maybe some nice slippers and snacks. And if I could just get some combos up in.
SOB Benedict Arnold took the money and drank it away, the Kickstarter money.
What do we got to do to get some Funyuns up in here?
So PETA gave him some vegan snacks.
Yeah, there were vegan snacks. And all of their Kickstarter money is gone.
Oh. Yeah, is that true?
Yeah, yeah, this is all true.
Jerky. How much money was it?
Yeah. Fact checking all this.
Yes, fact checking.
that it doesn't say.
Yeah,
doesn't
one say guy went much? And drank it all. Yeah,
out.
He's holed up in a motel drinking their Kickstarter money. And we had a listener call in and say she was glad that these guys were out there with guns and that this should be happening, and you know, because they had had their rights violated and now they're off into. I don't understand.
Yeah, they're the grazing rights or some kind of. I mean, they're
the
grazing
guys,
for free.
But the
so.
Two guys who are in jail for arson to cover up their poaching, they're like, we don't support this. This isn't our thing. I don't understand.
No, I don't get it either. And plus, the other thing, if you're going to hold something hostage, is that really?
Well, they have said they will shoot anybody. Okay, we have to go. You can stay, but I mean, I should let Esmeralda take over. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joined by the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. See, if I just say it quickly.
You do, yeah. Now it's smooth.
Yeah,
now
but if like... I slow down, I can't do it. The
really?
Political cartoonist.
Political
cartoonist. Joining us in studio as well are Mike and Adam. They are the sketch group Snack Boys.
Hello.
Hi, Mom.
Oh. That's not your mom, is it? That's, do we have Dr. Dingman on the line? I don't understand.
I don't know what's happening.
We didn't open up the phone lines. Yeah, it's very
freaking
strange.
Out, man.
Oh my God!
Freaking
hold on,
out.
One second. Happy New Year, Dr. Dingman. Hello, Dr. Dingman.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hello, Patty.
What? We didn't expect you to call tonight. We were actually Craig had a feeling that you were going to call last night, and since that didn't happen, I just thought he was just full of it. Maybe he.
No,
was...
I don't even know why I'm calling today because I know what's going to happen, and I'm irritated already.
Oh no! I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, it's not my fault, Pat. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh.
It's not my fault.
Oh, well, we can spread it out. Is it Esmeralda's fault? Esmeralda,
no,
what
I don't even know who that is. It sounds like a fictitious person.
It is not. Although she hasn't seen Star Wars yet, so we're not quite sure where she
I'm
fits.
Not here.
So you're the one.
And Scott. Scott Altstantis yes. has also not seen Star Wars. Have Dr. Dingman, have you seen the Star Wars movie?
Of course.
Okay. And when you go see a movie, does the music in the movie affect you? Because, I mean, John Williams is an incredible score. I have to imagine that you – is it somehow alter you at all?
I'm human. Yes, of course it affects me.
No, I mean in your – with your mystical abilities.
No, that's a work of art. And because it's intentional, it's volitional, it doesn't engage my psychic a gift. I'm human. It engages me on an intellectual and imaginative level.
You know, I'm also curious when Dr. Dingman saw Star Wars. Did he see it with all of us, or did he see it in, like, June?
No, you don't understand. My gift, it's like you know the scene in The Godfather when Sonny kicks the crap out of Carlo?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
The fire hydrant in the street is spewing water. That's my gift. But I can turn on and off the flow at will. That's the I've honed that skill over the years. But when it's open, it's like that. It's beating me mercilessly with a garbage can lid in the face. That's the power of the gift.
Now I've got that image in my head, and it straightens things out for me.
I'm glad you're having a good time, Patty. Quite frankly, I'm irked.
I apologize for that. What can we do to...
Well, nothing.
Oh.
I mean, as we did last year, the first week in January, I was going to call in, and we were going to celebrate all my correct predictions, because on this day, it's always the first Thursday of the new year, I make all my predictions for the year coming up, and then you record them.
Yes.
And play them back.
I don't actually. Do we have the recording of his? No.
Look, you're not going to have them.
We don't have the recording.
No, look, you said last year, I filed this away, and then we play it back a year from now. Go ahead, look.
Was one of your predictions would be that I wouldn't have the recording?
Yes, Patty.
You know, this year I just completely dropped the ball on that.
Okay, well,
just
okay.
Totally.
Okay, okay.
It's on me.
Okay, so now, okay, to set the record straight, we have Mike and Adam in the studio with us, by the way, from Snack Boys. They're part of Sketchfest. So there are our extra witnesses to this moment. Gentlemen, he's going to give us some predictions for 2016. And you will help me remember.
What's the point?
I promise. I pinky swear. There's nothing.
I predicted everything major that happened this year. I said I'm seeing an elephant with orange clown hair pissing all over the circus. Do you remember when I said that?
I do remember that. You're correct. I do remember that.
And who is that?
It's Donald Trump.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Of course it is. Up on his hind legs, the vision.
Are you angry at Trump or the vision or at me? I'm not sure.
You're professionals. We went through the entire process of record. I fought long and hard and had a prediction for every month. It went out over the air, and we were going to play it back. And I woke up today, and the vision in my head was of you and Craig scouring, looking around, looking, and not finding anything, and then both being too afraid to tell me.
Yeah, you know, and to be honest with you, that whole looking was a complete charade because I knew I didn't do it. I just knew that I didn't record any of this stuff. So when we were looking for it today, Patty.
But we're recording now, right?
Yeah.
We are recording now.
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
This one is definitely going to make it.
Pinky swear.
For sure.
Is it possible that maybe people that listened last year and recall, could you invite them to call in to verify?
312, yes.
Predictive power?
312, that verify that Dr. Dingman did in fact make predictions in particular to an elephant at the circus with an orange wig on his hind legs. Orange clown wig.
And an incredibly short trunk.
Yes. No, that makes sense.
You are sure. Almost like a puny. Oh my God, what's wrong with this elephant trunk?
Exactly.
Like, if it wasn't in the circus, it would have been euthanized. That deformed of a trunk.
Yikes!
Wow.
That's an image.
I'll let for you to decide what that refers to.
I got it.
It's his nose, right?
It is his nose. Tracking. I'm tracking.
Yeah.
But I'm over it now, Patty.
I'm glad.
One of my resolutions for 2016 is to have a longer temper.
A longer temper?
Well, I have a short temper right now.
Okay, so 312-981-7200 if any listeners would like to call and verify that Dr. Dingman... Okay, we'll let it go. Let's just move on. How about we move on to 2016?
No, please, call and... I would imagine if there's anyone actually listening to you, that image You can't forget that in a year. 5 years, maybe you forget it, but not in 1 year, no.
Or perhaps there are listeners who, as they embark on 2016, would like to get a reading from you. And
that would be fine.
312-981-7200. We encourage you to give us a call. See how you're we had a medium on this week, Dr. Dingman, on Tuesday
night.
It?
What was the name?
It was the Manhattan medium, Thomas John.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was an interesting.
And how did you find him?
He seemed to be able to hit on a few things that were struck people in a very emotional way, and yeah. it was interesting.
Well, as I'm sure you can imagine, Patty, as in any other profession, accountant, juggler, psychics, some are incredibly gifted; others are just BS charlatans turning a quick buck. So. Even though the phenomenon of psychicness, psychic ability, sensory perception is authentic, there are some people who are unable to do it, and they're pretending, right? Which makes it much more difficult for those of us that are genuine
right.
and gifted to be taken seriously. I'm speaking this weekend at the Phoenix Psychic Fair. On Sunday at the Hilton in Phoenix, and that's the topic I'm delivering the keynote address. And the topic is validating the psychic phenomena in a world where people are thrown so much garbage at them, they don't know what's true and what's false anymore.
Right.
Well, I'm still hung up on the BS charlatan juggler. I'm trying to think what that might be.
You never know.
Yeah, because either you juggle or you don't. But I guess there's
exactly. But people say, "Oh, I can juggle." They're here, and they, for a second, they juggle. Then there's crap all over the floor.
Right, they throw it up in the air,
the wind or whatever.
The rotation of the planet.
Right, the planet's constantly spinning on its axis and moving, and you know, take that into account if you're good. Is what I would say.
So 312-981-7200 for your reading, the first reading of the year on WGN Radio 7:20 a.m. with Dr. Dingman. We have our guests in studio. They're performing at Sketchfest. We have the Snack Boys. What night are you guys performing at Stage 773?
We're doing this Saturday night at 6 p.m.
6 p.m. on Saturday. Excellent.
So, and what is the sketch? The fest.
What is the Sketch Fest, sir?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's only the biggest sketch comedy festival in the nation.
How so?
How so? It's packed with talent and performers.
It's over 160 performers, 180. I think it's 160 groups and about 180 performances over 8 days.
Oh,
wow.
That's a lot of sketching.
It is. And I assume you'll be going to all of them, Doctor. Is that correct?
Is it this weekend, you said?
And next weekend.
And next weekend.
This weekend, as I said, I'm going to be speaking in the Phoenix, and then I have to go to Perth, Australia, for the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Ah. Well, it's a shame. But I do think that we can probably get a reading from at least... I mean, it's not a shame that you're going to Perth. I think that'll be lovely. In Phoenix, this time of year, is probably...
It's a formal penal colony. Former penal colony.
Penal.
Try saying that 4 times.
I won't. And I'm not close enough to the dump button. Would you do me a favor and do a reading for Adam from his last 3 songs that he's listened
sure.
to? Okay. All right, Adam, go for it.
Doctor, are you ready?
Yes. Now, these are random, not songs that you picked. They have to be randomly generated by your personal phone.
These are the last 3 songs I listened to on Spotify.
Okay. It's better if the actual hardware is... of your personal possession, but I've done Spotify before, so
okay.
We'll try.
Beep, bop, boop, beep. I just switched to my personal hard drive.
Oh, wow. That was good sound effects.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Wow. Felt like I was
thanks,
there.
Guys. Mm-hmm. All right. So one song, Doctor, is Physical by Saint Lucia.
Okay. The next one?
Next one. Like a Feather, Nikki Costa.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, You Can't Run From My Love by Peaches.
Ooh.
So Physical, Lighter Than a Feather, and You Can't Run From My Love.
Exactly.
Well, it's fairly obvious, Adam. You have intense feelings of personal angst about your perceived shortcomings in comparison to the rest of the world. You see yourself, your persona, your gravitas as feather thin, insubstantial. Physically, you are not comfortable when you look in the mirror, I'm not saying you're repulsed. I'm saying you're like, eh.
You know what?
You
that's
know what I mean?
Almost spot on. I gotta be real,
right?
With you guys.
Clearly, you're not Quasimodo, hideously ugly.
But I'm related to him. I'm in the family.
Right. But you're not. Rarely you walk by the mirror and go, okay, no. And the third song again was what?
The third song was "You Can't Run from My Love."
Right. You're single currently, Adam?
Yes.
Yeah, and I would say within the last 3 months, you've had a tumultuous romantic relationship explode in your hands.
That could be any month with Adam.
Yeah, it's basically any month there's just a big love explosion.
Right, yes. Ideally, if you're doing it right. But this is not this is a bad explosion. A dissolution, taking of a silver glass chalice and dropping it on a patio during a barbecue. That kind of shattering.
That's true. You know, Mike actually knows a lot about glass chalices, so you might want to throw him a question, Doctor.
Oh. Well, we'll do him after
I'm sorry
the break.
More of a metaphor. Yeah.
Thanks for
your,
the assist, though. No problem.
Recently disrupted personal romantic life. So you have lost a girl you thought you loved, though it was just very strong lust. And now you are experiencing self-doubt and an antipathy towards the self that you present to the world. Am I accurate?
You are very accurate.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is? I don't know. You know, I think I just go for a lot of people and women in this life who, you know, might just be better than me. I don't know. You know, I'm a Quasimodo, as you said. I reach for the stars and I come crashing down to earth.
Exactly. Mm. And see, you don't even know this, but the music that surrounds you, like horrible past gas in an elevator, where even when the doors open and you're out, it's still two or three floors, it follows you. That kind of cloud of self-doubt is poisoning your life, and you're doing it to yourself.
Well, what should I do, Doctor? I mean, you're pointing out all the problems. I need some solutions.
You need to change your personal vibration.
Come again?
You need to change your personal vibration. It's like changing the channel.
Warning.
I don't think that there was any sexual content.
I don't know how do you change a vibration though. So yeah.
I'm talking metaphysical, not the kind you would get mail order or review on your the filthy part of the program that you do. What's
yes.
it called?
What's in the box?
Yes.
Which you were a fine
no,
participant.
Crude, but yes. I think that goes too far.
Okay. And duly noted. Thank you.
So what I'm saying, Adam, is it's you are projecting this. It's like, you ever made shadow puppets on the wall with your fingers and a light source?
Almost every day.
All right. That's like an analog version to the video games that the kids today play. Instead of projecting on the wall a pretty bunny or a monkey writing a poem or a couplet or what's the one with 14 lines?
A sonnet?
Sonnet, exactly. A monkey writing a sonnet. You're projecting ugly, filthy, negative things on the wall. That's the bad news. The good news is you can change your projection. And if you are willing to try that, we can do that right now in the studio.
I am willing to try, and I would love to.
Okay.
Are you're
a brave man.
Are you in the glass?
Okay?
I'm seeing you in a almost like a fishbowl, a glass. This is not a studio in a closet somewhere. It's got a view of something.
Okay.
Right? No, right now, where you are.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I'm looking at something.
Okay, so I'm right. I've never been there. I'm not there now. I'm in Phoenix. So I'm seeing this. What I need you to do is there's a desk or a table of some kind. Jump up on the table facing the outside.
Oh, goodness. I don't know if are we insured? All right. I don't know. That's entirely up to him. I'm not going to. It's not required. But if you're willing to jump.
You're removing some of your clothing. I sense.
Oh, you want him to take off his clothes in the Allstate
Showcase?
No.
I want him to leave his pants on.
Okay. I can leave my pants on, but everything else off?
Shirt off.
Just by the way, so our guest...
I don't know that he has to do this.
It's very important. I need you to take off your shoes and socks, put the shoes on and the socks on top of the shoes.
Just so our guest knows, this is also streamed on the internet. So this
Yeah, there is live streaming. Yeah,
you know what? Forget the window. Face the camera. And then once you are so dressed, I need you to. Did you ever see the movie King Kong?
Oh, of course.
All right. I need you in your most fervent Kong-like posture, crouching down gorilla style, to beat on your chest. And say, me, 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 ah, me.
Okay,
and what you're doing, I realize you're going to feel ridiculous and silly. And to be honest, it'll be enjoyable for the world to see this. But
sure.
What you're doing is you are changing your vibration. You are now projecting a strong, virile, hairy king of the jungle.
Dr. Dingman, we're going to take a break because it's time for us to do that. And we'll see what we can do as far as coordinating that with Adam.
The socks outside the shoes, very important.
Okay.
I wrote that down.
Yeah, no, it's all duly noted. Dr. Dingman, please hold the line. And again, our listeners, 312-981-7200. We'll have a couple minutes before the break if you want to get a reading and possibly take off your socks and shoes. More after this on 720 WGN. Of course, again, that music means that we have Dr. Dingman. Those are clean socks, right?
Yes, they are. They are so clean.
Dr. Dingman, during the break, Adam was able to accomplish what you asked of him, and he has decided to put his clothes back on. It was impressive. It was. I wasn't fast enough to videotape, but I will send you a picture of his shoes with the socks on the outside.
And I got to tell you,
he already beat on his chest and screamed.
Yeah, here, if you want to reenact that part of it, we had your shirt off, but you can.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. It was me, me, me. It was great.
Me, me, me.
See? Is that good, Doctor?
Yes. Well, you tell me. Do you feel different?
I feel energized and ready to roll. This is changing my life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was impressive.
Do you have a book I could buy?
The only constant that we have. So by changing your vibration, you are changing your future. You're projecting some different persona than what wasn't working before into the future. And I see what's going to happen now as a result of this shift in your vibrational imprint is you are going to meet a woman.
Is it the woman?
She is at least... I'm seeing 4 years. She will be the woman. At that point, it gets like misty and foggy, and I think my sense is she could be the woman, or that in 4 years there's going to be a crossroads of some kind. And depending on your choice at the time, you will either step away from her, or then she will continue in your life for a very long while.
Well, where do I find her, man? You can't just give me that, and then I need some clues.
I'm seeing a woman in yoga pants and an oversized man's shirt with paint all over it. Like she's holding one of those roundish paint things with
the rollers.
A palette, yes.
Oh, palette. Okay.
Yes. She's standing there looking very alluring, and she's on a canvas. She's making markings.
Ah.
But not painting. She's holding the paint palette, but it looks like she's drawing on the canvas, which would be what? What do they call that, the artists, when they do that?
Sketching?
Yes, sketching. Yes, I see sketching a woman... sketching something, and you're going to meet. She's sketching you.
Sketching me?
Yes. Somehow you are in her sketch. She's sketching. I don't know exactly. This is what I'm seeing. You have to interpret and help me a little.
Is this Donald Trump again?
No, it is Adam. But it is a ape-like, virile.
So you're
Adam.
Saying that she's painting me, so she knows what I look like.
And no, she's not. That's it. She's dressed. And has the accoutrement of a painter, but the action, the physical action on the canvas is, she is, like you said, sketching something, not with a brush.
Oh, I'm sorry. So she's sketching me, and she actually, so that means she knows how unattractive I am, and she's still willing to go on a 4-year relationship.
No, no. From what I'm seeing, she's attracted to you. This is where the moment that you are meeting, somehow you're meeting during a sketch, but I don't know how that would happen. Okay. Do you have any ideas on that?
Maybe a sketch comedy?
Are you talking about sketch comedy, Doctor?
Possibly. Go on.
I mean, I think what you're saying is that at the Snack Boy Sketch Fest show, Saturday at 6 p.m., I'm going to meet the love of my life? And everyone who comes will meet the love of their lives?
A show.
Yes.
Yeah, like doing a show? Yeah, this weekend.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, my God.
Because I see it in the very near future. I hear the song titles, and then I see like little mini movies, like little vines in my mind. And then I have to tell the person, and sometimes it's obvious, other times it needs interpretation. So I was seeing a sketch, and I guess that to you, when you hear that, you think your sketch show. I would have never thought that. That is amazing.
That's most romantic show of the year. And people who are already in relationships, I think he's seeing that they'll just reinvigorate that relationship at your show as well.
At Snack Boys, at Sketch
Fest. So everyone's invited, single and taken.
Yeah. Yes,
in general, that's correct. But there will be three couples who have, holy crap, a huge fight after the sketch show.
You are going to drive people to fight, Mike and Adam. Nice. Well done.
That's our motivation, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it for all artistic endeavors?
Mm-hmm. Yes. To drive someone insane. Dr. Dingman, we have to take leave of you. I apologize again. I can't apologize enough for misplacing the recording from last year. I know that it was on January 3rd, 2015, and hopefully you will grace us with your insight next week. Maybe we can talk you into perhaps doing predictions for 2016, even though we so gloriously messed up this time.
Well, as long as you're taking... not that there's a blame, but I just recall the elephant one, and I was curious to hear me say it again. But okay, sure. Next one.
I appreciate that. Have a lovely.
I'm not going to chew about it.
I know. Have a lovely evening and safe travels to Phoenix and Perth, my friend.
You know, things happen. There's nothing. You can't change the past. I should know. No. So I'm over it. Don't.
I can tell. No, you seem completely at peace with the situation.
Completely.
Yes, entirely. So. Thank you, sir. Doctor. I'm intimidated now. Have a lovely evening. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I did talk to Tad, our listener, who we heard from last year when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, and he had some really touching stories to tell us that night. And tonight he was able to go to the Blackhawks game again, and he had Lou Malnati's, and not the game tonight, last night, right? Was there a game tonight? There was a game last night. And so he had his Lou Malnati's, and he's planning on coming back in the summer. So hopefully we get a chance to hook him up with some good stuff in Chicago again. We have in studio with us the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
Hello there.
Hello. And joining us are the Snack Boys, Mike and Adam, and they are performing on Saturday night at 6 p.m. Which theater are you in? I like asking.
We are in The Box.
We're in The Box. Mm-hmm. You're our first group that's in The Box. Ooh, everybody else has been in The Thrust or the Cabaret.
The Thrust is bigger and the Cabaret is smaller. So
we're just right.
You're just right. Mm-hmm. What are we, like Goldilocks with our theaters? There's four theaters at Stage 773, and there are four continuous performances between, like, they start at 3 and go all the way to, like, midnight. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe on Saturdays they go from 3 to midnight. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, every hour another show starts. They're about 40-minute performances. Tonight, I'm not calling out any names, but somebody went over, T.J. Miller. he was in The Box. They had their sketch group with Nick Vatterott, and I think it was Heavyweight, and they were packed in there. And then I saw a performance in the Pro Theater that was wonderful as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Saturday. Just show up and just take the stage over from somebody. At 5 o'clock in the cabaret, I'm not going to be doing anything. You can come in to take over the stage.
Hey, if you're there, we'll do it for you.
Oh, there you go. That sounds good. So what can people expect? These are corny questions, right? How do you describe the work that you do?
We do lots of physical fart-based pie comedy. Mm-hmm. It gets messy. Yeah. There's a sense of danger that we experience as performers, and the audience feels some small sense of danger too, but not a real sense of danger.
No, just an element of
except
danger.
For that one time.
That one time?
And we're sorry about that.
Yeah. We're so sorry.
You're still paying the bills.
Oof, you have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind, though. She dropped the charges. Mm-hmm. So,
do you come off the stage into the audience at all?
I'm not going to lie to you, Patty. Sometimes we do.
Yeah. Patty, that's our bread and butter.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's get involved. Mm-hmm. Make the audience feel like they don't know where you're coming from. Where are you going?
Sometimes we'll wear disguises and disemerge from the audience.
I used to want to do that when I was a stand-up comic, was just come out of the audience and come out on stage.
Patty,
but like stand-up comedy is a little different that way. Yeah, sketches, I can do it that way, I guess. Just sort of like all of a sudden be like, oh, I guess I'll go on stage now.
I don't know, Patty, if I saw you at a comedy club and you appeared from under a blanket, from under a table, and then went on stage, I would be so happy and impressed. So
under a blanket, under a table.
Yeah. Under a blanket, under a table. You can never be too protected at a comedy club.
No, you should always have a blanket when you go to a comedy club. I agree with you on that. Do you have a lot of like vignettes? Do you do a lot of blackouts, or is it one continuous stream of consciousness between the two of you?
We have done everything under the sun with that kind of structural stuff, but we usually will do probably like 9 or 10 3 to 4 minute sketches, maybe a couple 1 minutes in there.
We'll ride them out for the laughs,
right?
So
yeah.
And how do you decide the order of your sketches? What's the running order?
Well, we basically sit down in Mike Migdahl's living room in Lincoln Square.
That's me.
And we'll hold hands and we'll just have a really lovely chat on, you know, where we want to see the shows going.
I find that holding hands is something that not enough sketch groups incorporate in their prep.
Not enough blankets at comedy clubs.
Not enough tables.
Yeah. These
not
are
enough
all
hand holding when coming up with running orders.
It's imperative in comedy. I think hand holding and praying, those are things that you should definitely be investing in.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would invest in them. But
there's a science to it, Patty. Yes. We do hold hands, and we do sit in my living room in Lincoln Square, and my name is Mike Migdahl.
And my name is Adam Levin.
And we're the Snack Boys. But there's a science to it, and you can go to Second City and take classes there, and they will teach you some of that science.
Including the handholding. Do they do zip-zap-zop?
A lot of zip-zap-zop, a lot of big booty.
Mm-hmm. What's big booty?
Ooh,
I want to get hit with that inappropriate sound again.
I've never been hit with big booty.
Big booty is a improv warm-up where people stand in a circle, and one person is the big booty, and then people count off and are like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the circle until it comes back around to big booty. And there's a song involved, and you're supposed to remember your number, or if you're a big booty, you lead the song. And if you mess up...
What's the song?
The song
is it appropriate for the year?
Yeah, it's appropriate for the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ready?
I've never had I need big booty.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it'll start like this.
Special moment for all of us.
I'll be big booty.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Adam, why don't you be number one?
Thank you, Mike.
Would you be number two?
Sure.
Patty, would you be number three?
I'll be number three. Craig is number four.
Craig is number four.
Just real quick, no one Google big booty. Just trying to figure out what we're about to do here. Don't Google big booty.
Have a big booty game. Can you make Google big booty game?
Yeah, you might want to slap improv at the end of that big booty.
Improv.
Mm-hmm. But then it'll just be a picture of my booty.
Do we need? Can Esmeralda be number five, or is it because she's out of the room? It's too hard to work with her.
Esmeralda, you can be number five.
Yeah.
Yay!
Awesome.
Esmeralda's into it.
She is very excited.
So the way this works is after we all sing the song, which I will reveal in a second.
Get excited.
I'm going to say...
I get the chills.
I'm going to say my moniker, which is Big Booty, and then I'm going to say the moniker of one of you fellow. I might even say Esmeralda at number five. And then whoever I say will then repeat their own number and then choose another number and then... they will pass the big booty energy to that person. If they mess up, if they don't realize that their number has been called, then we all sing the song again and the order changes. And that's where we'll probably end this because this bit will be running too long.
Okay.
All right. So the song goes like this. Oh, yeah. Big booty. And then I go, big booty number one.
Number one, number two.
Number two, number three.
Number three, number four.
Number three, number two?
Oh, no.
I wanted to throw it there.
You had to say your own number first.
Gosh darn it.
Were we supposed to sing the song, too?
Oh, yeah.
Big booty.
Big booty number five.
Number five, number three.
Number three, number two.
Number two, number four.
Number 71.
All right, we got it. We got a clown.
We got a prankster.
Tell me when his Sketch Fest show is.
More after this.
I will be protesting.
The Snack Boys are talking big
booty. Follow me on Twitter.
Sketch Fest 2016 at State 773. More with our friends after this on 720 WGN.
If you take Metro or CTA to work, I guarantee you I'll save you $1,600 this year. It's not the Powerball, but it is worth looking into, isn't it? Plus, we'll take a look at the end of a scary week in the stock market.
Your pre-dawn intel report on the business day ahead. The opening bell with Steve Grzanich this morning at 5 after Nick on 720 WGN.
You've heard of living trusts and how they can protect your assets, but you may not know if a living trust is right for you, or maybe you have questions about creating your own living trust. The fact is, almost everyone can benefit from a living trust, which can protect your assets from the court system and your loved ones from unnecessary expense and inconvenience. Learn more at a free seminar Wednesday, January 13th. Estate planning attorney Robert Sopolis will explain how to create your living trust, estate planning under new tax laws, why a will does not avoid probate, and more. Have your estate planning and living trust questions answered absolutely free. Don't miss this important seminar. Wednesday, January 13th at 6:30 at Papa Joe's Restaurant, 145th and LaGrange Road in Orland Park. The seminar is free and a complimentary dinner is served, but you must make a reservation now. Call 708-478-1400. 708-478-1400. That's 708-478-1400.
Guys, if you've been using or wanting to try Viagra but are worried about the costs, we have great news. Now you can finally get real results at huge discounts with our Healthy Men alternative to the Little Blue Pill. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get results for a fraction of the price? Call today and get 40 pills for only $99. Others cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want real results at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill for Viagra when you can get real results for less than $3 per pill. Call 800-805-6151 today and save over $500. You can have those breathtaking, toe-curling moments again and again. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Call right now and we'll rush you your supply delivered discreetly to your door. Just call 800-805-6151. That's 800-805-6151. Again, 800-805-6151.
This week on Chicago's Best, grab a cold one and join Brittany and Elliot on a sudsy search for the best beer-infused foods. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. And I want to remind everybody that on March 6th, we are doing the Fight for Air Climb, and we want you to join us. Everyone here at WGN Radio. Everyone, Craig. Everyone here at WGN Radio will be climbing the Presidential Towers. It's the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb presented by United Healthcare at Presidential Towers in Chicago's West Loop. It's Chicago's biggest air climb, and you can climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 towers. That's 180 floors, 2,340 steps, and you'll take it all in the mission to help save lives by improving lung health. It's also a great way to meet your own personal fitness goals. This is how I started working out, really. I did a little like fitness blender and stuff on YouTube, some yoga, but once I started doing the Fight for Air Climb training, I've been working out ever since, so it can change your perspective on working out. You can register now to join us. Early bird registration is only $15. Now, is it January 8th now, then? It's the day before, like maybe on, you know what, I'm going to the website during the next news break to see if we can still register for the $15 early bird registration. But here's the thing, maybe you don't want to climb, and that's fine too. We're not going to judge. If you can't climb, you can help still pledge in support of our WGN Radio team. 89 cents of every dollar raised will go directly to education, research, and advocacy. Register online at fightforairclimb.org or call 312-781-1100. And now, will you join me?
I would love to. No, we worked out together, and then you did the climb, and you showed off, and you did all 4 towers and asked if you could do it again.
I know. I asked if I could do the climb twice, and they said I could. And 2 times in a row, like, come down from the...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, it's... Yeah, why not? I did this year's tower. That was harder than the Presidential climb, I think.
Was it? Why?
Because the risers are higher, and the stairwells are longer. The flights are much longer. So it was I had to stop a lot more on that one than I did for the Presidential Towers. Yeah. They're very short steps. Wow. At the Presidential Towers. I'm just saying, it's doable.
I'm stunned.
It's consumable.
I walk stairs with you, and you're a monster.
I am. We are joined by the Snack Boys, Mike and Adam, who are performing this Saturday at Sketchfest, Stage 773. Their performance is at 6 p.m. in the box, and they have a sketch for us. Do you need an intro?
We don't have a sketch for you.
It's sort of a complicated situation, to be honest.
Oh, no. Okay.
We contracted out part of our sketch show to these two guys who run a horse and buggy transportation company.
Oh, okay, sure.
And
we have like a carriage rides around downtown, or
sort of, but more practical. Yeah. It's not really just for pleasure. it's like for transportation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have a very expensive prop budget, so this is how we just renting out radio time.
Little
to
supplement.
Other people,
I see. Oh, so you're sort of
We're not
trade.
Yeah,
little trade
it out. Sounds okay.
I think they're actually walking into the studio right now.
Oh, okay. Oh,
hey, Chris.
Oh, hi.
Chris, yeah, here's the mic.
Is this thing on?
Hey, is this a hot mic?
Hey, Patty, are we good to go? We were listening outside. Dr. Dingman.
Yeah, no, a little bit strange.
Okay, cool. So we're just going to use this airtime to run one of our ads that we're just going to do live.
Oh, okay, yeah, anything for the Snack Boys. That's fine. Yeah, I'm more than happy to trade
okay,
out the time.
Cool,
sure.
I'm going to get right into it. Listeners of WGN.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, valued listeners and citizens of planet Earth.
The other day I looked into a child's eyes, and I told them that in 10 years, the Earth will blow up.
And that child was me, a grown man, but a child in the Lord's eyes.
It's been proven by scholars that God can't help us.
And it's time we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and that's where me and my brother Kevin come in.
Thank you, Chris. Horses are loyal. It's in their blood. They're loyal creatures.
And so are you, listeners of WGN. Thank you, loyal listeners, for lending us your ears as we talk about a solution to Earth's problem.
We are the number one horse and buggy transportation company in America!
And we understand that you are probably in a car right now, but guess what? That's easy.
Oh, yeah, so easy. You just sit in your giant deathmobile hurtling down I-94. Oh, and you probably are getting a face full of air conditioning right now, aren't
you? Hey, brother, you think maybe they can use a little bit of that air conditioning to cool off the planet on account of the global warming?
Yeah, that would be nice if it were possible, but it isn't. So we're asking you to take a chance on us. Cartco, the number one horse and buggy transportation company in America!
Oh, hold on, wait a second, brother. Are they taking a chance? Because when was the last time that there was a pileup of prized Welsh ponies on Lakeshore Drive keeping you from getting to your job as the joint CEO of a horse and transportation buggy company?
I don't know, Chris. Maybe horses are the right choice. Because when has your nephew, my son Toby, ever stolen your prized Welsh pony and crashed into your neighbor's maple tree?
Yeah, Kevin! And guess what? When was the last time that your son Toby and my nephew Toby took that prized Welsh pony and went across America, go stopping at different hotels and spending your credit card, and it was untraceable because he was in a car and not a horse?
Look, horses today, horses tomorrow, horses forever!
WGN radio listeners, we love you.
And we would die for you.
And he means that.
And so does he.
As a gesture of our gratitude, we brought you something, Patty.
It's a prized Welsh pony. 2 years old, so you can still teach it tricks.
Barbara, open the door and let the Welsh pony in. That's right. Just bring it into the studio.
Don't be afraid, Barbara. Oh, here comes the Welsh pony. Patty, come on, don't be afraid. Go ahead, feed it some peanut butter. We know you got a stash.
Do the listeners know that there's no horse and that it's me making the horse sounds, Patty? Can you cut that part out?
Only if they're watching at WGNRadio.com.
We lost the horse. My son Toby ran away with the horse.
Oh, no.
It's floating in the Chicago River right now.
Wow.
Have you seen Toby?
Toby is running loose in the studio, Patty.
Patty, cut this part out. Edit this. Is this live?
Oh, all right, guys. Come on, Cart Brothers. Get out of here. This is our time.
Yeah, you guys only had 10 minutes.
God.
And it's been 12.
It's like $25 you gave it. It's not even worth this.
Good luck with Toby.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you were able to do a trade out. No, that's not easy to do.
Those brothers were so intense.
They were very intense. Yeah, wow. And the hair was wild.
It was very wild.
I wasn't sure where to look because they were a little crazy eyed, but they were very intense about the horses in America and God. And
that was a beautiful horse they brought into the studio.
We have to edit that part out.
Okay.
Have you guys ever had a live animals in the studio before?
We've had a dog. We've had Charles Turk's dog. We had Duchess Olson. She's a therapy dog. We've had two dogs in the. We've had Blue and Duchess are the two dogs of the show.
And Warren was just in here. Am I right?
Yes, Warren the pony, the 2-year-old Welsh pony who can still learn tricks.
I was talking about the car guy, but
Warren. What was the name of the Welsh pony?
The Welsh pony did not.
Oh, you were calling Warren an animal.
Ooh, you said it, not me, Patty.
Whoa, Patty.
And to answer your question, the pony's name...
is Warren.
Is Warren.
The pony's name is Warren as well. That's just a coincidence, Patty. Follow me on Twitter. It's Migdal Time. Shout out to my roommates, Casey Tony.
See how I smooth things over? What was I? What
that was nice. This is all really good. This all really worked out. You guys nailed that segment.
Thank you. Thank you. We are pros.
Come see our show 6 p.m.
Yes. Where are you? I don't know why I'm like, so where are you from?
Where are we from? We're actually both from the Washington, D.C. area.
What?
Shout out to the Washington Wizards.
Shout out to John Walt, hashtag NBA All-Star Votes.
Yes.
Sorry, Patty. We have an agenda here.
Yeah, we have an agenda here.
To get our boy John Wall in the NBA All-Star
It's not
game.
All horse business, Patty.
Okay, hold on a second. So are the votes up right now for the NBA Hall of Fame?
No, the NBA All-Star game.
All-Star game.
You can vote for who plays the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
But anyway, we're from Maryland.
we are from the Maryland side of the DMV.
Of the DMV.
That is District Maryland, Virginia.
Oh, I thought you meant the demilitarized... No, void. I don't know. DMZ?
That DMZ?
Yeah.
The zone. North Korea.
I don't know what's happening.
Patty, are we talking about Oregon right now? What's going on?
Uh-oh.
Hot topics. Am I in the view?
The Horse Brothers. There you go, Adam.
Yo, shout out to Mike McDonald's roommate, Casey Tony.
Shout out to Casey Tony. Hashtag NBA All-Star.
I don't know what's happening. Okay, so what brought you to Chicago? Sketch comedy?
Yeah.
All right.
We both wanted to pursue the comedy dream, so we came to the comedy town.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we actually met not in Maryland, where we're both from, but at Second City. We worked as hosts there, and we would clean out these like dirty nacho dishes in the kitchen.
You're hosts at, and why were you cleaning out the nachos?
It's not like a host that like is like, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. We were like the guys that took people to their seat and then cleaned the nachos.
Were you tipped out well enough by the servers for doing some of that?
No.
No.
One time someone gave me $5 to pick up the menus.
Nice.
One time I got paid $50 to clean poop off the bathroom floor. Mm-hmm.
That's a real story? No.
That's a real story. This is true.
Happens.
Patty, you tend to bond with someone at 2 in the morning washing dishes in a comedy club environment. So that's where we became.
Yeah, what were the chances that you were from the same area?
You know,
apparently 100%.
Slim to none / 100%.
Somewhere in between.
Somewhere it turned out that way.
No, Patty, can I tell you why? I immediately was like, there's something going on with this Mike Migdal.
Yeah, please tell me.
And, you know, like, did you wear uniforms in school?
No, never.
Okay, neither did I, but this connects somehow.
Okay.
So, where is this going?
Yeah, if you work on night staff at the Second City, you got to wear a uniform, like a Second City t-shirt. You have to wear black pants, black shoes, and if you're lucky, you get to wear a hoodie, but you have to earn that hoodie.
To earn the hoodie, okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Hoodie pecking order.
Oh, yeah. Not everyone could pull off that hoodie.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Mike Migdal could pull off that hoodie, and I was like, you know what? I got to talk to this guy, because he's pulling off the hoodie.
Wow, my time at Second City was such a blur.
Mm-hmm. You didn't even know that this was part of the lure. No,
I did not know. I thought he thought I was funny, but apparently I could wear a hoodie.
He was compelled by the sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, fascinating. So, did you studying at Second City? Are you still working with Second City,
or
have you moved on? No.
No, I was let go, but that's a different story.
I'm sorry, because of the hoodie. You weren't supposed to wear the hoodie.
No comment.
You and your belligerent hoodie wearing.
Yeah, he flew too close to the hoodie sun.
Hashtag NBA All-Star.
John Wall, where are you at?
John Wall, my roommate Casey Tony. Sorry. We were told to get some shout-outs out.
Yeah, keep going. Mm-hmm. Who else you got?
Who else I got? I got my mom, Alicia Levin.
Hi, Alicia.
She's in Florida right now, living it up.
She listening on WGNradio.com?
She will be tomorrow because she goes to sleep early.
All right. Well, we'll have a podcast of this. Mm-hmm.
Shout out Nancy Migdal, my mother.
Hi, Nancy.
She's in Maryland.
Hi.
You didn't ask, but she's in Maryland.
Patty, what are your mother's names?
Dora.
Irene.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Good mom name.
Are they going to listen tomorrow?
Yes, my mom. This is how my mom finds out what's going on in my life, is listening to my show every day.
Oh. Ah.
Yes. It's and my husband does too. I don't see him very often. Yeah, he listens to my show to see what he's like. Hey, I didn't know that you bought a new pair of boots. I didn't know you were all mad about Channel 32 telling their female reporter. No, he knew about that. I was yelling a lot. He was yelling about that listener that called earlier in the week that was supporting the militia that was taking over the federal lands. He's like, she doesn't know what she was. He was listening to it today and he was yelling at the radio. I was like, is this what it's like when people listen to my show? They're just yelling at the radio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably yelling.
Sure. There's some yelling.
Sounds accurate.
Stop yelling at me.
Can I shout out my grandma, Mildred?
Please. Hi, Mildred.
Thank you.
Mildred,
just wanted to get a quick shout out in there.
There you go. Esmeralda, any shout outs for you?
My dad.
Hey, Dad.
What's your dad's name?
Ramon.
Ramon. Hola. There, anybody, Scott?
No.
All right.
No. Okay. Just a sad, lonely man.
You're all
any hashtag other... John Wall for NBA All-Star.
There it is. There it is. Hashtag Bradley Beal as well. Get well soon.
Come on. We need a Wizards backcourt in the All-Star game. Patty, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is your bedtime?
What's my bedtime? This week it's been about 7:30 or 8 a.m.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah. Why?
Why?
Declan's been up when I get home.
Oh,
God. So, I stay up until he goes to school.
Are they a zany morning news team or
I
something
think they
like
are.
That?
I know.
Can I ask you a question? Whoa, good answer.
Gabagoo.
We are both looking for new jobs if you guys are hiring.
Hold on, what Gabagoo. Is your
favorite kind of food? The dump truck is in the building.
Gabagoo. Welcome to the trash zone.
Baba Lagoosh, it's me, the dump truck. I've got 14 coins that say the dump truck can't do 10 push-ups right now.
Oh, I bet you 10 coins he can do 10 push-ups.
Coins are the monetary, Gabagoo!
Gabagoo, welcome to the dump zone.
You just took a big dump.
In the trash zone.
Hashtag John Wall, hashtag NBA All-Star, hashtag Casey Tony and Nancy Migdal.
Hashtag Alicia Levin, and hashtag Casey Tony.
Hashtag Esmeralda in the newsroom.
Hey, what?
Esmeralda and Ramon.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hashtag John Wall.
Hashtag Sketchfest 2016.
Patty, I'm gonna feel bad if I don't also say hi to my dad, Alan Migdal, and hi to my little brother, Jacob.
Aww.
Hi to my sister, Lesson Levin, and hi to my father, who's 6'7", Mark Levin.
Hashtag six foot seven.
Although I think John Wall is a little shorter, so that's just how remarkable he is at basketball. Yeah.
This is the most shout outs anyone's ever. I kind of love this. This is the sweetest thing ever. It's like romper room on my show.
I loved the dump truck segment. That was amazing.
Welcome to the dress zone.
Oh, the dump truck is in reverse. Beep, beep, beep. Gabagoo.
Gabagoo. Fabalagoosh.
We don't know any more people, though, so we have no more shout-outs.
Well, think about it, and I'll take the names down at your Sketchfest appearance on Saturday, and everybody can come meet them and see their performance. I'm going to need you to meet and greet after the show with all of the fans that come to see you.
Done.
That sounds like heaven.
Can you please remind me to ask Brian Posen if I have tickets to give away? I keep forgetting to ask him that, and so I don't know if I can give people tickets to your show, but they should go to Stage 773.
You know what? Brian Posen has given us full authority to answer any of his questions.
You have 10 tickets.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that. But come see the show. If you can buy a pass to a whole slew of shows, you can go see Snack Boys. You can go see Tim and Micah Project. I'll be performing on Sunday at 5 p.m.
Ooh, I'll be there.
As well. Oh, hi. And Vicky Coons will be there. And our friend, who else do we have? We have so many people that have been here this week that I'm losing track. But go see all the shows.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Best festival in the country.
In the world.
In the world. Get out of here, Coachella. Just get.
Get out of here, Maryland Renaissance State Festival.
You know who's the keynote speaker at that festival?
I think you're going to tell me.
Is it John Wall?
Either that or the dump truck.
The dump truck.
They can't get enough.
Do I have a break before the news? All right. Thank you so much, you guys. Snack Boys. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
Who just won't leave.
There's
like
so much good
fungus.
Mexican
there's no getting
food.
Rid of me.
I don't even know what to do with that kind of mental imagery.
Okay.
Yeah. Why would you compare yourself to toe fungus?
Because there's no getting rid of me.
Like if I said something similar, like I would have it in my head and I'm not going to say it because it's too gross. Craig's thanking me. Craig's thanking
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're talking about glitter. You just can never get
glitter. You can never
yeah,
get glitter.
You can't. Yeah, just never, there forever.
That's what you're thinking about.
You were mumbling something during the break. During the news.
Nice.
What he needs to do about this gun control thing. What were you saying about President
Obama? No, I was just watching. They're showing highlights from the town hall meeting. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he needs to do more of this. It can't be a one-off thing. And he tends to just one-off think it's one speech. It's got to be... And
but he's doing it now,
yes,
so...
Yeah. No, I'm saying he's got to do more because he's good at it.
Right.
And this is... he can trade on stuff that... I mean, people like him.
No, they don't. There are people who hate him viciously.
Of course. There's people who hate, you know, a lot of things. But generally...
I want to take the people who hate, like, when they say, and they get so angry. Like, there are things that I dislike severely. And yes, I'll say I hate something. But I don't take to writing letters or going to Facebook or like attacking somebody on the radio. I'm just like, I just go, and there's something I don't like, and then I find something I do.
Right. But I don't, here's the thing. I mean, the thing that makes me crazy, you talk about stuff that makes you mad. This makes me mad is when I say, well, you're president and you're no.
Our
dudes, the way this works is we have an election every 4 years, and whoever wins,
it's
is
your
the president.
President.
It's your president, my president. Don't have to be the same party. Don't have to agree with everything he or she does.
I don't know what I'm going to do if Trump wins.
I don't know that he can win the election, but you know what? I kept saying that, and I still have to pay you off that debt.
I know.
Because we bet, and you were right, and I was wrong.
We're waiting for it to get very cold.
Yeah, well, that's cold later than maybe next week.
How much of his body were we saying we were going to wax as well?
Oh, I want to do my back.
No.
He has to be entirely hairless. The bet is that he has to be a seal.
A seal.
It's just 100% all hair removed from the body.
Slick.
Oh, my gosh, right. That would hurt. Imagine that would itch after a while, too.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, you should have made that bet then, I guess. That was just a terrible
idea.
Yeah,
I know. I never thought Trump would still be around. I mean, could anyone have imagined that would have happened?
I've said from the very beginning.
How did you know that? I just thought it was preposterous. He said, I was talking to someone today, and here's what's happened. Our debate has gotten so stupid, we're screaming at each other. We don't talk to each other. That doesn't happen anymore. We scream at each other like it's... And we're children. And Donald Trump is the child candidate.
I know.
He just says what he's, you know, any stupid thing that pops into his brain.
And people like it.
And people
like
it.
There are people who like it. Let's put it that way. It's
dumbfounding.
Clearly. Dumbfounding clearly. To me. I know.
Do you know anyone in your life who says that they support this guy?
I don't know about support. We've had somebody on the show before who felt that he made some sense, that they were that it was appealing to them, what they enjoyed about his speeches and his point of view. And we've had listeners call and say that they, you know, were very excited about his candidacy. I had a friend who said that their Christmas ended when one of the relatives said they were supporting Trump. and he was
that would you just pack up the kids.
Yeah, he was like, I gotta go.
You don't know if that's contagious.
I have some bourbon at home that is waiting for me.
I don't know anyone who fervently supports the guy, but clearly there's a lot of people who do.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who fervently supports him. I don't know. The people are, and I've been very concerned about, I don't have anybody. I'm concerned that there's nobody that really appeals to me.
Not Bernie?
No.
Really? Why?
Yeah, just not for me.
Really?
Neither is Hillary. Neither is anybody on the Republican Party.
Not Rubio?
No. I didn't mean it. That was too much.
Boy, he's a little underhydrated, and you just don't like him.
I don't know what it would take. I don't know what it would take at this point for me to be inspired by a candidate.
Really?
I guess that's the thing. Is I think and I shouldn't wait for someone to inspire me. But I think that I'm feeling cynical about the whole thing now, especially with people saying, again, let's go to Rahm, because I know that you've been doing cartoons about Rahm Emanuel. And I was mentioning...
Recall.
I mean, we had a recall. It was called an election.
I know.
We could have recalled him. We had our chance. And people didn't take it. So this is it. This is the mayor that you get twice. We elected
him. But here's the thing. There is no mechanisms in the state of Illinois to recall anybody. Did you know this? I did. I have to admit. I mean, and it should be my job. I should have known this. I did not know this until recently. There are no mechanisms for anyone to be recalled in the state except for the governor. And that was for Rod Blagojevich. That's it.
How many states have recall mechanisms?
We've had that. I think it's.
And what are the standards for recall? I mean,
like,
we made a mistake. I mean, we made a mistake twice then. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, okay, it can be criminal. I mean, the only way you can get rid of a mayor in Chicago is if he or she is dragged away in handcuffs, which has never happened in our history.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, isn't that stunning?
Yeah.
Well, because it's the mayor. So, it makes me. There should be a mechanism there that not just criminally, but because of suppressing a video of an African-American kid getting gunned down and shot 16 times so you can win re-election. There's something
that has to be proven in order to start with any
the emails that are coming out now. Clearly they knew about it.
Well, you're saying people in his office knew about that. I mean, unless you do, you know, say
you're talking
it,
about
his
a control
email.
Freak like Rahm Emanuel would not know this happened. Would not know.
But
these
you have to have the evidence.
It'll come.
You can say
it'll
that.
Come. But that's the other thing, Patty. We have there's so little transparency in this town that you can't get any kind of emails without a FOIA. You can't get any communications without a FOIA or Freedom of Information Act. Sorry.
Yeah.
And so you know we
say FOIA again. It's a pretty word.
FOIA. Doesn't it sound like something?
It does.
It just sounds like.
I like it.
And I was walking amongst the FOIA.
The FOIA. Here are the states that have recall from federal to local. Washington, Oregon, Montana, North Dakota, Colorado, Wisconsin, Michigan, New Jersey, and Louisiana. States without any recall, Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky, New York, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and South Carolina. We have initiative process. I don't know what that means. There are states with recall provisions. But we are a state that has initiative. Maybe we've initiated the process of it. I don't know what that means.
I have no idea what that means. Craig, what does that mean?
25 states have the initiative process by which citizens propose statutes or constitutional amendments and place them before voters for approval. New Mexico and Maryland have referendums, but not initiatives. Citizens can create or extend recall via initiative to other officials. The General Assembly voted for...
For Rod.
For Rod Blagojevich's right. recall.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just seems to me that would they act differently if they knew they could be removed from office?
Oh, I see.
And I suspect they would.
So, the basis for this recall would be entirely the Laquan McDonald videotape?
For me, you don't have.
What about
this
Barbara
Bird
Bennett? I mean, are they,
well, one of his appointments, that now she's, you know, going to jail. You know, I can never remember the name of the other person that he brought over here from Ohio who's now going to jail. You're looking at a city that is now going to be billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in debt. Our bond rating is already a junk. It's going to be downrated again.
Mm-hmm.
The schools are terrible.
But
the violence is exploding.
That didn't sway voters to do anything differently in April.
No, I know.
And that had nothing to do with the videotape that was possibly squashed or withheld.
Suppressed. Let's say suppressed.
Suppressed. Squashed is more fun.
Yeah, squashed.
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 Yes, withheld. No, suppressed.
Yes. So that would be the linchpin. But now I understood what this evening the teachers union has come out in favor of recalling him, but they hate him anyway. So
yeah,
that's a surprise.
A foregone conclusion.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Should he be recalled? I think every elected official should have that threat hanging over their head.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that completely. It should be hanging over their head. But also voters should be involved and make their voices heard, not complain after. Well, you can complain, but...
Well, this is information we didn't have.
Huh?
This is information we didn't have 14, 15 months ago.
Well, our bankruptcy, our
yeah,
possibility
true.
Of bankruptcy,
that's true.
We certainly had that before. I'm just saying.
And the CPA is going to, their bond rating is going to be downgraded probably within the next 10 days. So, yay.
Yay!
CPS, sorry.
It's all right. I know. Did you? Someone called the other night. We were talking about, you know, did you see this story about, I'm sure you did, about students that cheat to get into schools, like the better high schools. They lie about their residency so they can go to schools like Walter
Payton. I have not read that, but I'm not surprised in the least.
And then a listener called and reminded us that Governor Rauner's daughter, he has residency in Wilmette, but his daughter went to school at Walter Payton.
Yes, he clouded her in. That was an issue during the campaign.
And nobody cared.
Well, Brig came up.
But people.
They did.
Yeah, I'm saying. That's icky. You're a billionaire and you got to send your kid to a Chicago public school and then you won't do anything when Chicago public schools say they're going to go bankrupt and that they're suffering. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to.
Recall them right now. Let's recall.
Recall. I would be for recalling all of them.
Yeah, let's recall everybody. Get them all out.
Yes.
Right. How much more chaos could it possibly
be?
That is the other thing that makes me, you just touched a nerve and you didn't even know it. That's the thing that makes me crazy. We can't recall him. We could get something worse. Did you just hear the litany of lists of what I just said is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very difficult thing to do.
But that was what everybody said. Chewy doesn't seem to have a plan. Everybody was like, no, we don't want Chewy.
I was one of them.
You didn't want Chewy?
Well, I didn't like either one of them, but you know, I pulled a lever for Chewy, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I wasn't enamored.
Because you, as you just said, how much worse can it get?
Yeah, it can't. It cannot. At least with Chewy, you knew what you got. You knew what you were going to get.
No, that was people who said. They said that they didn't know what they were getting. Oh, as far as like his plan for taxes.
Well, we thought we were getting a competent, charmless, you know, little weenie with Rom. But apparently the competent part, not so true. Not such a great leader.
This is another thing that, like, if you go back, our friend of the show, Rick Perlstein, has written a piece for The New Yorker. We have to have him on very soon, too. But he's like, this is who he's been. He's always been this sort of bully who, you know, finds ways to get things done regardless of the consequences. He's always had friends who have a lot of money who can pull strings. He's always been that guy.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, so.
He can raise a lot of money. That was that guy
in the 90s. So where was, you know, where was the backlash? Where was everybody in April?
Yeah, where was the guy who can get things done? Nothing, you know, what's getting done other than kicking the can down the road? Yeah. And the, you know, the rumors are you probably have to go to a break or something, huh?
The rumors are what?
Well, the rumors are that he's positioning himself. He wants to be appointed to the cabinet after Hillary wins.
Ah, more after this on 17 WGN. There's no more sand in the hourglass. Craig, you gonna be okay? Oh, yeah. Well, you told me yesterday you felt like you'd gotten a little out of shape this winter. So I think that perhaps doing the what we meant to get to dance helps you.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's all good.
Going good.
Was that the dolphin? That's new.
Mm-hmm.
The new repertoire. I like the heart attack. That was awesome.
I think we had that all in the video. I think that I was
able to get,
I think I was able to get all three of us in the video. So we'll see how that looks in post. There's some fans out on Michigan Avenue who were impressed. I think my favorite was the high step knee slapping.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was a new move as well.
That was a new
move. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm getting a lot of feedback online. So
yes, you're doing very well.
Commit to it.
Well done, sir.
Well played, sir.
Yes, well played. Oh, Brian Urlacher. We never talked about Brian Urlacher with you, by the way. That was such a big story about him having hair this week.
Who cares?
It was so ridiculous.
Bald guy gets hair. Well, he did have the surgery. So yes, he had the plugs.
And the guy with the igloo, is he building another one now? Is that what's happening?
No, he's reinforcing the original igloo, so it's just getting a little bit more developed. It's nicer. I think there might be a second floor. Mm-hmm. We're not sure.
he's putting rec room. Yeah. So he's really putting a lot of work into that. Oh, man. What else do we mean to get to? I think there was, we didn't get to anything that we meant to get to tonight. Well, we got to all of our guests.
That was nice.
So that counts. We had Warren in, who fixed my car, fixed Craig's car.
Everyone should buy a Powerball ticket. I think that's what we everybody should buy.
Some crazy.
Well, we don't know. I mean, I think you've got to find out. Is more, but it could be 700 million. It could be more than that.
No, but the point is don't buy one because more people that buy it, the less chance you have to win.
Yeah, but
I see. You're trying to discourage others from buying one.
Because I want to win.
The odds are like 225 million to one.
Yeah, if you keep telling people to buy one, it's going to be even bigger.
Well, no, because the numbers don't change. You're still picking between the same amount of numbers.
Yes. Your chances of picking the right numbers are still the same.
Do you guys pick your numbers?
You're not competing against other pickers.
Yeah, your odds are no different.
Yes.
Whatever.
Do you pick your
I don't want to share my prize with anybody.
Oh, that's different then, yes.
Do you pick your own number or do you guys...
I do both. I haven't bought a lottery ticket in years.
Are you going to?
I do quick pick and I'll do my favorite numbers. I'm not telling you my numbers, though.
You can't have
my numbers.
Don't blame you.
But I don't know if I'll buy any for this.
Yeah, I'm not telling you any of my numbers either. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hoping for the best. Oddly, I do 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's so weird.
I know. It's bizarre. If we put them together.
We should just jointly buy both tickets. Then we're going to win.
Mix them all up.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They did. The lottery people, well, I guess there's a group, and they pulled their money, and they did a survey to see why do people buy lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. And you know what the reason is? It's really kind of not... Because it gives you for that few couple of days. What would I do if I had $100 million? I mean, because normally you're not going to be saying that. Well, you will, but the rest of us won't.
Craig, can you do me a big favor? Can you Google how much it would take to buy all the possible number combinations to just win? Because I mean, like, why wouldn't like a millionaire just buy it and then get the 700? Like, that seems like a good investment.
Shaquille O'Neal plays.
Yeah, but there's 69 numbers,
right?
And so every combination of the 69 numbers plus every single Powerball would be a lot of money.
Right, but is it more than 100 million?
Because I mean, you want me to do a factorial now? Now I got to do factorials in here. Fine, I'll do it.
If it's $700 million and you have $100 million, why wouldn't you just buy every combination of numbers so that you would have the extra $600 million?
That's a good idea. I just love the relationship here. You will make him dance like a trained monkey, but Damn, don't make him do math.
I don't know why. I mean, like, what number does a billion, like somebody who's got $1 billion go, I wouldn't mind that extra $400 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say, yeah, because it's $700 million. Let's say it's, yeah, $650 million.
Right.
To get all the combos, and then you get $50 million bucks.
I'm just asking. So,
but then you have to.
You don't get the whole $50 million. Wait, what if somebody else wins and now you spend $100 million?
You need to buy 175,222,510 tickets in order to guarantee your win.
See that you did find it. See, it wasn't that.
But that works too. I mean, you double that. That's way under 700.
Even if somebody else wins, you still make a profit.
How angry would the 7-Eleven guy be that he's got to pull out all those tickets? I mean, I get mad when there's someone like sitting there getting 5 tickets out. I'm like, oh, come on.
Oh no! Yeah, I need every number combination. I just want my Slurpee.
Oh wait! By the way, my information was dated. That was the old 59 number combination, 35 red balls. So it's more than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're looking at spending between 350 and
all right. So if it gets to be a billion, though,
yeah, at what point makes sense?
At what point would a billionaire go?
Does it make sense though? Because with a lump sum payment and stuff, I think you're pretty much getting your money back. A crazy mean millionaire could pretty much break even by playing this game.
They would also have to pay someone to go get the tickets because you know that millionaire is not going to do it.
Right, and if anyone else won, then he's in the black.
And you have to pick out. You have to select each number, right? So you have to fill in the circle on each piece of paper because you can't do quick pick. You have to make sure you get every single number combination.
You've thought about this a lot.
I did one time.
Yeah?
I didn't do the math, though. I waited until the right moment to ask Craig to do the math for me to figure it out for us. Wasn't that fun to think about? See, instead of thinking about what you would do with it, you it's better to think, what would it take for you to win
to job the system, yeah.
Yes, exactly. I'd rather think that way. You know why? I live in Chicago.
Yeah.